PFW in progress.
Hello, fellas. Everybody's here. Freddy, Tom, good to see you.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
I do you a favor and take Freddy in when you're having a bad time, and then you try to push me out. I gotta kick asses sometimes to make it run right. We had a little argument, Freddy and I, so I had to straighten him out. He was banging cocktail waitresses two at a time.
Paul Perillo.
Come over here, kid. Learn something. You start out with a little bit of oil. Then you fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes and tomato paste. You fry it. You make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil. You shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. And a little bit of wine.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Cut the crap. I got more important things for you to do. How's Paulie?
Oh, Paulie won't see him no more.
And Andy. And Andy?
I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like dumb. I'm smart. And I want the stats.
Andy Hart.
I know it was you. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
Some guy named Tom.
Tom's no longer consigliere. Gonna be our lawyer in Vegas. That's no reflection on Tom, but that's the way I want it.
Mike, why am I out?
You're not a wartime consigliere, Tom. Things may get rough with the move we're trying.
Maybe I could help.
You're out, Tom.
PFW in progress.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Well, there's nothing to talk about today, so Andy, what'd you get for Christmas?
Just clothes. Guess that's going to do it for the show.
No. My headphones aren't working.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Patriots might be in playoff form, but PFW in progress is not.
Welcome to PFW in progress, and we have a
Patriots
lot.
Have Tom Brady as their leader on the field. We have Fred Kirsch as our leader in the studio.
We got a lot to talk about today. Breaking news happened about a half hour ago or an hour ago. Saban has left the Dolphins, and Wayne Huizenga had his press conference. By the way, he's taking all input from the media as to what they should do. I thought that was a little bit strange, but
should we email in some ideas?
Yeah, we could. How about, you know, just lose to the Patriots every year? That's all we need you to do.
That would be something new for them.
So that's on the top, the docket, of course, but the Patriots get ready for the Jets. Today was media day, and big, big press contingent here today, Andy. Is that correct?
Yeah, maybe the biggest ever. The locker room was just crowded. Anytime a player, there weren't a lot of players in there to start with, and any time a notable speaker, a Mike Vrabel or Rosie Colvin or one of those guys came in, just absolutely swarmed by media. ESPN's here, Rachel Nichols. NFL Network has a guy here. I'm not really familiar with who he is. There's people from New York, but a lot of them are not all, you know, not a lot of what you'd call big names or famous faces in there. A few, Michael Smith, ESPN, but just tons of people. You know, I'm guessing a large chunk of them are from New York, some of the New York TV stations, the newspapers, everything. But really sort of an uneventful press conference, I thought. Bill opened, said Eric Mangini's name in his opening, as he did in the quote he gave the Globe earlier in the week. Kind of nipped that in the bud, and other than that, just talked about...
Did he say any positive things about him? I mean, was he nice?
Yeah, I mean, not over-the-top Nick Saban nice, but... And there was still that hint of, now remember, this is a Jets team that 2 years ago was a field goal away from the AFC Championship game, and
right.
There's a lot of players on... And, you know, there's some turnover, but there's a lot of talented, experienced players on that roster. There was still an answer that included a lot of that line of thinking. But he praised... what did he say? There's a lot of... praise or credit to go around down there, included Eric in that, but a lot of players, a lot of coaches, all that.
Right.
Eric did not get the full-fledged praise that a Nick Saban gets, that a, you know, other guys that he doesn't even coach against gets,
right.
But...
Mike Shanahan.
Yeah. He didn't get a full-fledged ball washing, as we say here on PFW in Progress. But it was not really... There was no argumentative nature to the press conference except for one little phase where the Boston Herald asked a couple questions about the hit on Rodney, and now that he's seen the tape, was it legal?
And next question.
He just said, you know, this is about the Jets. You know, we're not talking about the Titans or the last season. And then he just said, anybody have Jets questions? Anybody have Jets questions? Just sort of like a threat that this is over if there's no. And people went back into the Jets. But somebody asked him about Saban, and Bill seemed a little bit surprised, didn't know what had happened, claimed that he spoke with Nick yesterday, but they didn't discuss the head coaching job or any of the changes like that. But other
just
than
talking
that,
about what you got for Christmas.
Yeah, I guess, basically, you know, a major life decision that involved, you know, $60 million total with the 20 he had on the table and the 40 from Alabama. But, you know, that didn't come up with these two guys talking on the phone yesterday. But the press conference, you know, the big news would be what the Boston Globe had already reported. Rodney Harrison is out for this week. Bill said that, you know, definitively he is, in fact, out.
Yep.
But beyond that, it was just talking about how the Jets are one of the best teams in football, on a roll, won six of their last eight or whatever the number is. And he just talked about sort of how it's an honor to be one of the last teams playing and in the postseason. And it's all about, it's not about the coaches playing any of that crap. It's the Jets. They're a good football team, and they're just trying to win, basically.
What about the locker room? What kind of locker room they got down there?
Locker room, I listened in on a bunch of different from packs. Mike Vrabel, I thought, was the most interesting, where he just said, yeah, Bill Belichick's our coach. We know him on all our interaction with him is on a coach basis, an X's and O's basis. So we don't know personally how he feels about Eric Mangini or that relationship. You know, we just see football from him,
right?
X's and O's. And down the road, maybe that is something that needs to be addressed. But he said it's the same with, you know, if, you know, Bill Parcells or if Romeo Crennel comes in here, it's the same thing. It's X's and O's. There's a familiar. How do you say that word?
Familiarity.
Familiarity. That's a tough one. I won't be using that one again on the air. It's good to get that out of the way on this radio, not on real radio. Yeah.
Stats can be awfully conservative.
So any did you sense any type of confidence from the Patriots this time around against the Jets?
I think they always seem relatively confident. Artrell Hawkins sounded confident. Roosevelt Colvin sounded confident. Mike Vrabel sounded confident.
Yeah.
But it's still going to come down to, obviously, as Bill says, the performance on Sunday.
Will Fork around?
Will Fork, I did not see in there. Okay. Benjamin Watson was in there.
Okay, Benny Watson was there?
Yes, indeed. Spoke a little bit, but didn't say anything in any way definitive that I heard.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think who else was in there. No Teddy Bruschi.
No Teddy Bruschi.
Which I thought was interesting. He chose not to talk after the game as well. Obviously, he was a prominent player in the whole fracas after the Rodney Harrison hit and the sideline and
right.
Everybody on the field and people winking and smirking and whatever went on the field. Teddy Bruschi was at the forefront of it. I stopped him after the game. He didn't want to talk and apparently is still not talking. But, you know, there's a lot going on around this team right now, but it you wouldn't necessarily tell it from the locker room and the press conference. You wouldn't get the feel for all this hype other than the fact that there was 10,000 media members in there.
Right.
There's nothing more to be said, apparently, about
Tennessee.
Rodney Harrison, Tennessee, the injury, any of that.
Well, if you want to...
It's a prep week.
If our listeners want to talk about it, you can talk about it here. We're not going to shoot you down. Everything's on the table, from the Jets game coming up this Sunday.
Yeah, Tom's not here today, so we'll actually listen to your email and respect it.
To last week's, last Sunday's game against Tennessee, which I thought was an excellent game. You know, I thought it was good on many levels, from a physical level. I could have done without all the penalties. But I think, you know, once again, I think Josh McDaniels or Belichick, whoever it is, called a good game plan, the right game plan against the team, took some shots downfield, which I think was much needed going into the playoffs.
Let's say Josh McDaniels.
Okay.
Everybody was saying Josh McDaniels when they were ripping him earlier in the year and wanted to run him out of town.
Good point.
Let's say Josh McDaniels. Whether either one is accurate. Whoa.
What?
I can't hear anything. My headphones just died.
Yeah, these are, you know.
Gary.
I have to plug mine halfway in to make them work. Those over there were working.
Are you sure?
No, not those. Those I have battery in them. The one over there.
All right. But, yes, there's a lot to talk about. It's just nobody really in New England in the locker room is talking about it.
Gary, those batteries are charging as well. Okay, so these Bose headphones, they're great headphones, except you have to charge the batteries.
And who left them on?
When EEI comes in,
they leave
everything on, right?
Or was it us last Friday?
Gary's shaking his head, yes. Okay, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482. And we did our show last night for Neckin, our Patriots Football Weekly show, and we all picked the Patriots. Tom and I think it's going to be a blowout. I think if the Patriots come in and play well, they will win. It's that simple.
Well, I agree. I just think it'll be a playoff football game. And to me, you don't often see a lot of blowouts in the postseason. I think this will be a hard-fought AFC East playoff football game where the Patriots will control it, but it'll still be within 7 or 10 points late in the game.
You don't think the Jets' defense will let it get out of hand?
I don't think their defense is that good.
Well, then,
but
what are you talking about then?
I don't think their offense is that good.
Well, then you don't.
I don't think their special teams are that good.
But you're also
but they're on
that,
a roll.
But you're also saying though, then the Patriots' offense isn't that good.
I'm not saying necessarily that the Patriots' offense isn't that good, which I sort of believe. But I think they'll be able to have success running the ball. What I'm saying is, what the Jets are going to do is going to keep it close. Whatever it is, that's what they've done. Nothing they've done has been pretty to win games.
Right.
They're, you know, they beat the Patriots, the only team they had, they beat with a winning record. But they're in the playoffs, and they played well enough to be there. And whatever it is, they've gotten it done.
It's like Jacksonville last year. Yeah, they were in the playoffs, and they
I think it's very different.
They came here and lost 28-3.
I think it's the exact opposite, actually. I think Jacksonville didn't play up to their talent, still doesn't, and I think they are a weak-minded team. I think right now Eric Mangini has the Jets playing as a unit, playing above the level of their talent to some degree, and if nothing else, buying in. Whatever he tells them to do, they're going to do it. They're going to do it with passion. They're going to do it full speed, and that makes a team dangerous in my mind. Well, and that's the exact opposite. I thought the Jacksonville Jaguars came in here and laid an egg.
Well,
I think they're a heartless team that plays well at home and doesn't on the road, and they're a product of their head coach.
Well, I think you're right. I think he does have them playing well and perhaps above their ability. Oh, I think they've got some pretty good talent there. I don't think it's
That's what Bill says.
It's as terrible as people think.
Leon Washington, dominating running back.
Well, I think that
quarterback who can't throw it more than 15 yards.
But he's very efficient.
He is efficient.
He has a better completion rate percentage than Tom Brady does.
And a 1-to-1 touchdown interception ratio.
And that's because he hangs the ball up there. And, you know, for those reasons, those limitations, I think the Patriots should win this game. And I think if they play well, they should win it fairly easily.
We'll see. I'm not sure this team in New England right now is good enough to win a playoff game fairly easily against almost anyone.
No, okay. I think that's going to be the case with Baltimore and or San Diego, but I think there's a big difference between those teams and the rest of the
league.
Seems
like, I mean, virtually everybody's picking the Patriots to roll. I mean, it's almost like, they'll win this, and then what's going to happen? Are they going to go to Baltimore? Are they going to go to San Diego? Which
right.
is a better? They're looking ahead almost the way they were looking ahead last week to the playoffs.
Well, we can do that. As long as the Patriots don't, then we're all set. But if they go in there and come out flat, whatever that means, or look ahead, they're going to lose. I mean, the Jets aren't that bad.
They won't look ahead because the last time the Jets were here, they beat them.
And that's what I'm saying. That's why I think the all those things add up to me to be a fairly easy victory for the Patriots.
Easy
in terms of the score, not, I mean, the effort will have to be 100%.
See, I think it'll be difficult in terms of the effort. And you'll say, yeah, they controlled the game, but I just don't see a 38-3 or whatever you guys are predicting.
35-10.
I just don't see that kind of a game.
No, I can see, because...
Plus, when was the last time the Patriots played consecutive games for a long stretch well? I know they're on it now a little bit.
Right.
There's three games, but
right.
you still need to keep proving. You can do it for four and then five and then
but
six.
But I'd rather go in having done that consecutive games
Eight.
Than what they were doing earlier in the season.
Well, there's two ways to look at that coin.
Yeah.
Could say they're due for a bad one again because they've had a lot
right.
of bad ones over the last
2 years. I think they've turned the corner. The only problem,
this is a championship caliber.
The only downside
team.
I see is losing Rodney for this game. I think he would have been critical to this because I think you need to be smart back there. It's not like they don't have the talent to just match up and beat you. They do have the talent and the coaching to out-scheme you.
They got a couple of receivers that have already had their share of big plays against.
And those guys do it after the catch, and they're great. Get yards after the catch. That just means you just have to execute. Play them tight and wrap them up. There's nothing scheme-wise that's going to kill you. It's just, with those guys, you just have to, be proficient in your tackling and your fundamentals. I mean, look at the game in New York, the first game. I mean,
Don't get me wrong. I think if the Patriots come out, don't turn the ball over and play, a pretty clean game, pretty solid game, they will control the game and they will win. But I think there's a difference between doing that in the postseason and just blowing somebody out of the water. And that's basically what you're predicting. That's what Tom's predicting.
Pretty much. Yeah.
It'll be interesting. I think there'd be nothing more that Bill Belichick would rather do than blow that team out of the water. I think a lot of the players would like to blow that team out of the water. But, again, I think when a team buys into itself, that can make them as dangerous as talent. And I think they have that right now.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Lots of emails coming in, Andy. Just tons of emails.
It's postseason. Patriot, yeah. I want to know, you know, I think it's interesting, and I sort of wrote this for my commentary for next week's paper, the roller coaster we've ridden here at PFW in Progress as a New England fan, Patriots Nation, all of that between, you know, Vinatieri and Givens, and they're gone. We can't win. We have no receivers. And then, you know, they win a couple, and okay, well, let's relax for a minute. And then they turn the ball over all the time. Oh, we can't win. They don't have enough talent. They can't stretch the field. You turn the ball over. Blah. And now 12-4, second most victories in franchise history behind the two 14-win teams. And all I hear is national commentators saying, well, look out. The Patriots are dangerous. They're in the postseason. They're playing their best football. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick. It's like you've ridden this, the sky fell, and then it was back up in the air, and then it fell again, and now it's back up in the air, and could it come to a screeching halt like it did last year in Denver if you turn the ball over five times?
Of course it could.
Or is this, do you look back, you know, they're building something special, as Chris Berman would say, and they're starting, so I just think it's been an interesting up and down year, and maybe that's what...
Well, that's what makes this great. We really don't know.
And maybe that's what Belichick and Brady and those guys have referenced when they talked about the adversity this team has overcome.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's a good
because
one.
On paper, I don't think they've overcome a lot of adversity. They had a couple injuries here and there.
Yeah,
and,
you're right.
But, I mean, to me, adversity is... without 2001 was adversity. You lost your quarterback's coach.
Right.
Then you lost your quarterback.
And I mean,
those are big deals.
I think there's stuff that we don't know about, whether it's
Doug
players,
Gabriel,
personal things, guys not getting with the program, discipline problems. I think there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that we don't know about, hasn't been reported, may never get reported.
Unless they give it to the Globe.
That they're referring to.
Yeah.
Got to ask you a question, a little report today about Tom Brady. Out there really, you know, hitting it hard.
Yeah. Well, I didn't necessarily say hitting it hard.
Well,
what
was the quote? He's
I think it means hitting it hard in terms of not sitting back and just being a broken lover.
Right. I'm not saying he's drinking.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what, when you say hitting it hard in terms of partying, that's what I think.
Then that's why I smoke.
You know, and
I definitely didn't say he was smoking.
He left the game right after the game, went down to Miami. Now, I thought he might be going to the Rose Bowl to watch Michigan. But apparently he's just going down there to go have a good time.
To live it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lindsay Lohan. She's another one of
what
those
do you
party
think about
girls
that?
Like
I don't know.
Tara
a lot of hot girls were digging on me last night.
I think Lindsay Lohan was hot 25 pounds ago, and since she got real skinny.
I don't care about her, but what do you think about Tom Brady?
I like your
Do you like your quarterback out there living it up, playing the Broadway Joe?
I think that's one of those things that Patriots fans would critique of another quarterback.
Hey, Lisa.
If that
you
were
pretty hot today.
Peyton Manning or some other quarterback they're prepping to play, they would make fun of that. And, Brady and our Patriots would never do that.
Hey,
I don't
Charlie,
really care.
You got any toast? Because I need some place to put
practice.
This jam.
Yeah, I just, if he wants to go down there for, if they have a couple days off and he wants to spend it down there, now if he's getting hammered and falling
so
on his face, but I think more of him as a teammate, a leader, everything than to do that. So I don't have a huge problem with it. No,
I'm gonna go smoke some cigarettes and watch Porky's.
All right,
he could be doing that at his house. Who knows?
All I know is that Will McDonough's going along for the ride, huh? He gets mentioned in the paper.
Will McDonough has a good gig as Tom Brady's Robin.
Yeah,
talk about making
absolutely.
Chicken salad out of chicken, Gary. This is it right here.
Well, Tom Brady's the chicken salad. I don't know what role.
Oh, different Will McDonough.
It's a different Will McDonough, but he's living the life.
He's got
huh?
a good life when you tag on.
He's the
Tom
wingman.
Brady.
He's the wingman.
Yeah.
You know?
But I know the track will have fun with that, and everybody will have fun with it if he's now the bachelor again and is with this girl and that girl. And
sure.
Who cares?
I think it's good.
You know. Anyway,
I like having
it,
you know
it
a
sucks.
Superstar. We haven't had one. I mean, the last superstar we had was Larry Bird. He wasn't getting girls. You know.
He's I'm not, also wicked handsome. See?
He's not the kind of guy out there.
He was
know.
A superstar like that?
Oh,
or no?
Not like that, but he was a sports superstar.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Well, I mean, who have we really had since him? Bledsoe, but again, he got married when he was 14.
Bork.
You know?
Is a hockey player, but.
Again, you know, really vanilla type superstar. But Brady is the first chance we've had to have the glitz.
I mean, he's
and
the
glamour.
First.
Come on down to Tom Brady's
media,
Falafel City.
Yeah.
Iconic type.
Absolutely. We're not used to that here in Boston.
Yeah.
You know, we're used to the blue-collar superstars.
Oh, he's not blue-collar. There's no doubt about that.
I like your boobs.
So this is good.
He's white-collar politician, fashion, parties, all that.
Absolutely. Mabata
but I don't care.
Watches. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. I've never seen him wearing a Movado.
Well, according to sources, he doesn't wear any watch. He's under contract. If he does wear a watch, it has to be a Movado.
Right.
He doesn't wear a watch. So.
He doesn't care what time it is.
Interesting.
That's what Will's there
that's
for.
That's what Will tells
That's what Will's left wrist
Honey,
is for.
These pants make me look fat.
Yeah, they do.
Well, what time is it?
Webradio@patriots.com is email address. Tom might come down later because he probably
might pop off with his
I'm
opinions.
I'm sure he has
no,
some
not
things
that
to say about Nick Saban.
Not irrelevant,
now,
Tom.
You know, before we get into the emails, what do you think about this whole Saban thing? I mean, you know, based on his, you know, what's gone on, you kind of get a bad feeling about it. Like he kind of left them, you know, on the lurch, Miami. But then again, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the situation was there.
That's the only thing is, it sounds like between ownership and a possible sale and all that, there could be some behind-the-scenes issues. But the bottom line is, Nick Saban has already laid his own track record. And this sort of just adds to that, where he's just kind of always bouncing around, looking out for Nick Saban next, and first and foremost, money, all that. And I personally, seeing him at the combine, and I've never had a lot of
you know, Alabama
fondness
must
for him.
Have known something that they would keep going after him.
Yeah,
you know,
Jimmy Sexton told him he'll be available.
Yeah, even when
he's interested.
You know, even when he reportedly turned down their first offer during the season, they must have known something that they kept going after him.
Because Jimmy Sexton told him,
right,
keep coming.
Yeah,
he's available. If the offer's right, he'll be the next head coach at Alabama. And it came down to that.
I can't help feeling a little bad for Huizenga, the owner of the Miami Dolphins, because, you know, you just,
yeah,
like, you know, you've given this guy pretty much control of the team, I guess. I know that could have been an issue, but, you know.
Oh, no, he had control, and he had all the,
yeah,
and there's a shock.
You know?
The guy who loves his own voice coming in.
Wow. Wow. Tom Casale's here.
Or as Gary said when I walked in, the voice of reason.
There we go.
If Gary said that, then Gary's dumber than I think he is.
Well, Tom, before
because you're, if anything, you're the opposite of the voice of reason. You're the voice of reaction.
Uh-oh, Tom has to use the
okay, Tom doesn't listen, he just talks.
Tom,
what do you need headphones for?
I got
that's
Andy's
not true at all.
I got Andy's summary of the press conference and locker room. You got anything to add? Andy says it was pretty much a lot of people, but pretty much a normal press conference. And you mentioned yesterday you expected the New York media to really hammer Belichick, but it sounds like they really didn't.
Yeah, but you know what? On the way up, I was talking to Stacy, and he mentioned something I didn't think of. The Giants are playing on the same day.
Right.
He said,
if
the Giants hadn't made the playoffs, this would have been an absolute nightmare for him because every media member in New York. Now, we have to remember something.
Yep.
The Giants are the number one team in New York.
Yeah, I know, but I was thinking that, Tom, but that I don't buy it because each paper has beat guys for each team. It's not like they
but
share
they,
duties.
But the best ones probably cover the Giants.
Plus,
so,
the beat guys are still covering the Jets.
Right.
It's like their number two guy they send to
it
cover
all
the
It all depends who comes. I mean, there's some guys, because I've been in Mangini's press conferences after the game. There's some guys who don't stop. Like, until you give them, they'll keep, you know, going after you.
My favorite was.
It depends on who shows up. You know, I forgot about the Giants thing. I was thinking, like, the whole New York clan was coming,
right,
and I totally
right.
forgot about that. But no, they didn't really do anything. I just thought, and Bill took care of it right away. He said Mangini's name.
Right.
Now, if he didn't do that, I think the New York media would have been pounding him on that, so he got rid of that right away.
So nothing really, too newsworthy in the press conference. What about the locker room? Who'd you talk in there, and what are the feelings that you're getting from the Patriots locker room?
Well, I didn't talk to anybody.
Oh.
I'm doing a story on Corey Dillon in the Hall of Fame and everything, and I'm waiting to talk to Artrell Hawkins, but they were bombarding him with the Harrison questions. I mean, it was, you know, it's business. It's not one of those weeks where they're kind of all loose. I mean, this is, you can tell it's the playoffs in there. You can feel it.
Okay.
Did you get my email on the new guy?
No.
Bill, I sent you. It's a Andy, he was a fullback at Miami, like I remembered. He was one of those 230-pound tweener types. And where I remember seeing him most was on either short yardage or near the goal line. They do that fullback flare pass to him. So he's kind of like a poor man's Patrick
Pass. Now,
who are
you talking about?
Oh, they signed a new player.
Well, to the practice squad.
Quatrine Hill.
Quatrine Hill from Miami. he would be your poor man's Patrick Pass, where he's not a running back, he's not a fullback, he's kind of in between. He could probably play some special teams.
He's an H-back.
I was going to say, sounds to me like if he's active, he'll be covering kicks.
Yes, yes.
He'll be a big guy.
Well,
to
that might
down.
Be after how they did last week. They might need that. I mean,
and this,
you know,
I
wouldn't be surprised.
But you know what else it might be? It might be the end for Patrick Pass, and this is a guy maybe that they had scouted and think, well, maybe he can develop into that kind of role. Let's just see what he has. I'm not saying he's even going to make the team next year, but just in my opinion, I don't know if Andy agrees, I think Patrick Pass's days in New England are over with.
I've been thinking that for a couple of years. He still keeps coming back.
With Marquise Hill.
I just can't imagine. I mean, he's a guy that makes $700,000-$800,000 a year. He's not like this cheap, versatile guy. Now he's a versatile guy who costs you money. And you got to figure there's younger, cheaper, versatile guys out there.
Right.
Well, Green got fired the day after Sunday. Mora got fired.
That'd be Monday.
You guys talk about Saban, I imagine.
Right.
Yeah.
And now Saban, Cowher's rumored to maybe be going too. But what do you think about this whole Saban thing?
Oh, I'm not surprised because he's a slimy type of guy. He had problems at Michigan. Well,
he's a used car salesman.
He had problems at Michigan State. You know, he left there abruptly, went to LSU. I used to really like him as a college coach, but then when he came to the NFL and started talking more, I really disliked him. I was telling Fred yesterday, did you hear him, Andy, talking about spending time with his wife?
No.
Well, he set the guidelines for his press conference the other day saying, I just want to talk about the Dolphins. Could you please respect my, give me some time to make this decision? And so a reporter said, in all due respect to your guidelines, Nick, this is a story. When can we start asking you questions? And he responded with, well, when can I go home and talk to my wife? When is that fair? At 1 o'clock in the morning after I'm here all day? Not even to talk about the job, but just to say, hi, honey, how's your day? I'm sorry, Nick. Aren't you making $5 million
right,
a year?
Right, that's fine. You want to talk to your wife, go do whatever, you know, go
also,
be a tree-hugging hippie
also,
and make no money. That's
also,
fine.
You know, the Dolphin season's over. He decides to hold a 10 o'clock press conference on New Year's morning. Okay, he can't wait till Tuesday
right.
to do the season wrap-up press conference? You know, why don't you give yourself some time? Because he knew he was leaving. That's why.
I got to say, for Patriot fans, from the initial reaction, they think this is a good thing. But my reaction is, I don't think Saban can coach in the NFL. I think he's a great college coach. I think he'll win 10, 11 games a year at Alabama. But I don't think he was ever going to turn it around in Miami because I just think he's a college coach. And now they have a chance to go out and get somebody who might end up being better than Saban.
That's true. But I think it's going to be a few years before that gets rolled.
Well, they got to worry about that defense that's getting older.
Yeah,
and
I mean, they've got some decisions to make. So this really is a step back for them for a little bit anyway.
I actually just hope. Because I don't like Saban. You know, the whole, he's got that little dictator, I rule the world kind of thing.
Nictator.
And I got to tell you, I really wouldn't mind, because if he goes down there and he doesn't win.
He is a bad, bad man.
There are boosters down there that will make his life hell,
you know,
and
what,
I will enjoy it.
You know what winning means at Alabama. It means Bear Bryant winning. Because
right.
if you don't win, if you're not in the national championship hunt, that's all they care about down there. You'll always be compared to Bryant unless you win a national title like Gene Stallings did, and they got off his back. But winning 9 games and going to the Outback Bowl, that's not good enough at Alabama. You need to compete like Florida does.
Sure. And I will enjoy if they tear him to shreds brick by brick, just rip him down.
But do we agree his NFL days are probably over? He'll probably be a college coach for the rest of his life.
I would think.
Yeah. I mean, it looks that way. It looks like a Pete Carroll type of thing, you know, where – he's really suited for the college game, you know.
Except for the fact where Pete Carroll's the nice guy who smiles all the time and everybody
for
likes.
Reasons. Carroll's a rah-rah guy. Nick is the
they're
type
pumped
of
about that opportunity as
that,
well.
That, you know, he wants to be a dictator, but it doesn't, you know, get the necessary respect from everybody to be that way.
And I was telling Andy, Arizona ought to, or I think I was telling you, Fred, that Arizona should just look for somebody else, because Pete Carroll's not leaving USC. The reason I say that is because USC might be able to beat Arizona.
Right.
He's got another top recruiting class coming in. His team right now is one of the youngest in college football. Mm-hmm. This guy's loaded. He loves college. He loves being in that atmosphere. Why would you change that to come to the rigors of the NFL, the 20, and go to a franchise that you have a 1 in 100 chance of turning around?
Yeah. I got to tell you, though, if in the outside chance he leaves, I'd be lining up in a heartbeat to take that USC job.
Then I'd be Jim Mora on the radio saying, I'll take that USC job.
And then you know what I'd do? Win 2 titles and then leave there with his talent and go to the NFL, rebuild my own resume.
Yeah.
Dennis Green might want to talk about going there.
Oh, boy. So, and Cowher, rumored, he, you know.
Looks like he's out.
It looks like he might be.
They've given him a week now to make the decision or something, the Rooney.
Now, is this the Brett Favre week or is it a real week?
Well, the first rumor was that they're pushing him to make a decision. The second one is there is no timetable. So we'll see about that.
Just so everybody knows, I know everyone's on the edge of their seat. Brett Favre said within the next month he will be deciding if he's coming back or not. I could care less.
Here's my prediction for Brett Favre. He comes back, but when he says he comes back, he says right there definitively, this will be my last year, so there's no doubt going in. He comes back, but he says before the season, this is my last year.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's what he's going to do.
I just wish he'd go away.
Well, I do too, but that's what he's going to do. My prediction.
We should probably talk about the Patriots, though.
All right, webradiopatriots.com.
No, I know, but
webradiopatriots.com. So the chill has been kind of taken out of the air, out of the balloon and all that, you know?
Yeah, so I think the chill is still there, but...
But really, you know, there's not much to talk about when it comes to Belichick and Mangini, right?
I think Bill just realized there was nothing to gain by...
There's nothing to talk about anyway.
To say, so might as well just say his name, get it over with. I mean, we knew he was going to because when he gave the Boston Globe a quote, he was sure to include the name.
All right. Well, let's get to the emails. Webradio.
That was one quote he didn't take away later.
everything's on the table. Coaching moves, Patriots, Jets, Tennessee versus Patriots.
But there's only one thing that's not on the table. I'm giving my warning right now. No Calvin Johnson emails. They cannot get him. They will not get him. They'd have to move into the top five to get him. That would mean more than their two number one picks. They would have to trade up to get one guy. The Patriots do not work that way. They will not have Calvin Johnson on this team, so please do not flood us with emails because you saw him play in the bowl game and you think he's great. He's
talking about Jarrett?
He's going to the top. No, Johnson for Georgia Tech. They won't get Jarrett either. He'll be in the top 10 or 12. But there's a more likely chance they could trade up to get a Jarrett. But Johnson,
I don't think they would get
five.
Jarrett. I don't think they'd want him.
Well,
I mean, if they, you know.
What do you mean by want
if he fell to where they are, but I don't think they trade up to get him.
Well, I'm not sure they'd trade up to get a receiver.
Right.
Yeah, well.
Definitely not in the top five. And that's where I, because Andy and I have both heard people say, well, this team doesn't need a receiver, this team. Well, guess what? Johnson's going in the top five regardless.
Right.
All right. First email is from Al, and he says, when anyone plays the Titans for the next few years, anyone is going to have to factor in a possibility Vince Young or Pac-Man Jones will make a play that few others in pro football can make. In this particular game, they each did. I thought the only time the defense really let down was the drive when Travis Henry ran for about 60 yards on three straight plays to get the ball all the way to first and goal. Luckily, the Titans bogged down, and the kicker even missed the subsequent field goal attempt. I absolutely love the matchup with the Jets. Sunday at 1 is the most normal time slot, and there is no way we are going to lose to the Jets again. Now, hopefully, the Chiefs go to Indy and knock off the Colts, then on to San Diego. That would send the Pats to Baltimore instead of on a West Coast trip. And remember, one of San Diego's two losses this year was to the Chiefs, an AFC title game at the Razor. Could happen.
No.
It could. What are you laughing about?
Well, it could. No
the Chiefs
question. And
good.
I could
the
win
Chiefs
the lottery.
Aren't good enough to go on the road and beat both
well,
those
that's
teams.
The thing. The Chiefs would have to do two upsets.
If they had to do one, like I agree with the San Diego, but two, I don't see it.
That's a lot to ask for from the Chiefs. Especially
believe
Marty,
me, I'm all
Marty
for
Schottenheim.
That scenario where I have to fly to Baltimore and then I come back to New England and have a home
game.
I'm all for that.
They
want to
do that. We're happy with it.
Yeah. No question. That's perfect for PFW.
I'll close with this. I was driving back from the Pats New Year's festivities and heard the winning kick by the 49ers on Sirius Radio. What a relief. This must be what it's like when the lawyer sits down in front of you and says, the DNA test is in. You've been cleared. I don't know why is that. Because we didn't have to play Denver?
Right.
Oh, that's right. Al was the one saying no matter what, he didn't want to play Denver.
Right.
Okay, good.
Al and Michael Felger.
But I agree with Al. I don't think the Jets have a chance.
Yep. I agree with Tom and Al.
I agree with both of you. I just don't think it'll be a blowout.
Blowout. As a matter of fact, I'll state it right now. If the Patriots don't win this game, I will kiss Andy Hart's bare ass. That's how confident
I
am.
Yeah, but you got it takes two to tango there. Andy has to be willing to let
before
you do
before or after I have a buffalo chicken.
Oh,
I got to go before. But.
Oh, orange fire water.
Went in as a hot dog and came out as orange fire water.
Oh boy, so now we have something to look forward to.
Yeah, so now even if you lose, you get something.
No, I lose both ways. I don't want to see that.
I lose both ways too.
Really?
How about you just buy us lunch?
Get the webcam for that?
Yeah.
You can put it right on the web.
I'd rather you just buy us
That's
lunch.
That's how sure I am.
Wow. Well, you know.
Well, you have to take us all out to eat to wherever we want to go.
I do that, but my finances aren't that great.
Tom, Mr. Tout, when you make a bet like that, you should get something if you win, too. It
well,
sounds
he
like
likes
only,
to be right.
You can only...
don't eat any.
What?
I won't lose.
Okay.
Can't lose.
All right.
Oh, by the way, I feel bad because I gave James some bad picks and he's not talking to me anymore. And now I'm 6-0 in the last 2 days. So, James, you should have emailed me back. That is if you're still alive.
He's really not talking to you?
I haven't heard from him.
He could be on the lam. All right.
West Palm Beach.
Notre Dame
tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What time's that game start? 9:15?
Yeah, it'll be over at 1:30 again.
Killing me. College football has been ruined by late kickoffs.
All right. James says, first off, I guess we're all wondering how serious Rodney Harrison's injury might be. I did not see the game.
He's out.
But it was described on the radio as helmet to the knee. Let's hope he's doing well and that he'll be ready for the game. No, he will not. He is definitely out against the Jets. And beyond that, we just don't know.
Well,
it's reported to be an MCL.
And kudos to John Tomasi for getting the information.
Yep. It's reported to be an MCL, a mid-level strain. I don't know what that means. I don't know what the recovery time is.
Sounds like a grade 2.
But he's definitely not playing against the Jets.
I've been here in 4 to 5 weeks.
Well, but it's clear he's not done for the year.
Then
right.
If the Patriots get to the Super Bowl,
outside
he could play.
Chance.
But yeah. If he was done, they'd put him on IR, and they haven't done
but
it.
But don't you
so
think he's the kind of player that you kind of want to so – because it might be 4 to 5 weeks, he's the kind of player that you're saying he's so important, why put him on IR
right.
at this point
no
in the
question.
Season?
Right. No question.
Absolutely. And who are you going to – why open up the
right.
roster
yeah,
spot?
Who
are you going to bring
up?
In? Now, some people were questioning why the Patriots were playing to win this one and why they left most of the starters in until late in the game. When there seems
Hello?
To be nothing to play
you
for.
Play to win the game.
Norm Edwards knows. I dispute this idea as there was still something to play for. And he goes down. Here are the main three. The different reasons why, getting the third seed, the positive effect it has going into the playoffs with a win, and the continued improvement that the offense needed. So those are James's.
I have no problem with that. I have no problem with them playing
no,
to win.
I don't care.
I don't think... I mean, I think we've received a few emails from fans to ask PFW that Harrison shouldn't have been in there, but even if you were just using it as a tune-up, he probably still would have been in there at the time he got injured.
Right, right.
Now, if you want to say Brady stayed too long or whatever, okay, but I never have a problem with a team playing their players. That's what they do. I think if you play to not get hurt, you're playing to lose. You can't play that game. It just is what it is. Now, if you want to criticize other stuff, I think there's... some things to be said that came out of that game in terms of the Testaverde
well,
thing.
Well, I was just going to say, what do you think about that play?
I don't love it, but I don't think it's as big a joke as the Flutie thing. To me, that just was a total circus show with Flutie and the dropkick. This, it's a guy who throws passes. I just, talking to Testaverde after the game, I get the impression he could have cared less really either way. That the record, that whole streak really means nothing to him. That he honestly came here to win a ring, and he doesn't care about that stupid touchdown pass.
I agree with that.
I agree, too. And the Titan in the locker room said, no one gives a crap about that meaningless record anyway.
Right.
But they were upset.
No, they were mad.
Yeah.
But 2 years from now, who's going to know that Vinny?
Right.
Who cares?
No, it is a meaningless record.
And they were upset because they lost.
Yeah.
And that just happened to be sort of a lightning rod to focus their anger at.
How
it's easier to point your finger at that than the fact that we got beat and we lost.
How about stopping a 44-year-old quarterback from throwing a touchdown?
Well, that's what surprised me, Fred, because, excuse me, I saw the play again, 4-man rush. No. If you're putting Vinny Testaverde in the game,
I'm hurt
10
him.
Guys, I'm blitzing.
If you drop back, yeah.
I'm blitzing everybody. So you're right. If they're going to do it, then the Titans got to retaliate, not let them score.
I don't have a huge problem with it. I don't think it's on the – I didn't like last year's. This one doesn't really bother me. I liked the way Bill handled it, how his dad told him a long time ago when he was the D coordinator for the Giants that it's your job on defense to stop them from scoring, not their job on offense.
Well, even Jeff Fisher, though, after the game, kind of mentioned it.
Right.
But so Andy, they were sore about it.
But, Andy, I hope if somebody runs the score up on the Patriots someday, Bill remembers that phrase.
Yeah.
Let's see. Jose from San Juan, Puerto Rico, he agrees on banning grass. I'm not sure if he means what you smoke or what you play
on. Yes, ban it. Because Sally over here went on a rant about no more grass, all field turf.
Anyways, we know all about Belichick's record against opponents for the second time, and even more when they lose the first game. Looking at the possible playoff matchups, we are facing the Jets for the third time coming off a loss and may face either Baltimore or San Diego for the first time. It's spelled Ader. Or for the first time. How do you figure these first-time matchups will affect both teams?
For the second round?
Yeah, for either San Diego or...
I don't think it'll affect them much. They're pretty familiar. They played the Chargers last year. They played the Ravens 2 years ago, right, Andy?
I would think the biggest difference is McNair.
Steve McNair.
That's the big difference.
But they played him a lot too.
So, yeah, I don't... to me, at this time, I know coaching is huge, but to me it's the coaching of how to coach the talent. And both those teams have a lot of talent that they bring to the table, and that's the challenge. Not so much you didn't play them this year, or you did and you're playing them a second time. It's Sean Merriman and Antonio Gates, or Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. There's a lot of talent on the table in that second round matchup, way more than the Jets matchup.
Oh, yeah.
Just they're showing some rookies on here. I guess those comparisons with Chad Jackson and Santonio Holmes have stopped now, because we were getting emails before. Holmes only has Holmes looks like he's going to be a heck of a player in Pittsburgh.
Holmes did what future great receivers did, is they learn throughout their rookie year and show some improvement.
Well, they did try to get Chad Jackson in a lot more in that last game. Got him the ball a little bit.
I just don't see the explosion. Like, he's fast, but when Ellis Hobbs touches the ball,
well, it's the
I feel like he's going to. Yeah, I feel
once
like
he gets going, he's fast.
I feel like Ellis Hobbs is going to go all the way every time he touches the football on a kickoff.
And that
return.
Could be the problem. That getting off the line, maybe he's lacking that initial burst.
I don't know. You'd think he'd be able to. I mean, when you run a 4.3 240. You're starting from zero.
I know, but you can make up for it in your strides.
I guess.
You know, we're talking about that initial.
There's
no
question he's not as fast as his 40 time on the football field.
I didn't get to see Ellis Hobbs returning kicks in camp like I did when Bethel Johnson first came here. But I mean, man, immediately when you saw Bethel Johnson, it was you could see the difference between him from the start and how quickly he got to full speed.
I think he was special. I don't think Ellis Hobbs is even in
Bethel
only
a couple.
Has elite speed.
But I remember, the defensive back Kevin Mathis?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when he played for the Cowboys, he was in Sporting News as the fastest man in the NFL when Deion was playing too. And they had him timed at a 4.2 940. And I remember Deion's quote was, Kevin and I both run a 4.2 940. The difference is I run a 4.2 940 in pads, and he runs a 4.4 940 in pads.
There's a lot of guys.
That's the difference.
Yeah, no question. There's a lot of guys that's the case. They're not football fast.
Football
it doesn't
fast.
Translate.
Yep. Let's see.
By the way, did Ty Law make a key pick?
Yeah, you didn't see that?
Well, I just saw it out of the corner of my eye a little
bit ago. It was a screen pass. He jumped in front of it and looked about as slow as Richard Seymour.
But he made the play.
No, he made the play, but it just...
That's what
he
gets by on, those instincts and the
great
smarts.
Great instincts.
Tom from the Forest of Nottingham in England says, good win this past week. Few of the points I'd like to make. Brady played two quarters more than I expected him to. Do you think he needed this much playing time, especially seeing as he can't have been 100% from the hit he took in Jacksonville? I think he just played because as the game was going, Belichick just said, I'm going to keep him in here.
I agree.
I don't want to give up on this one.
Right.
You know, how was Rodney? The hit he took was quite simply dirty.
No, it wasn't.
He seemed to be away from the action and Wade
away
hit him
from
for
the
a
action.
Cheap shot. Good job. We don't play the Titans next year because Rodney would probably flatten him.
All right, Fred. Let's be the voices of reason here. Right before that play, I turned to Andy Hart and I said, "You know what? Harrison's got to be careful." Because he kept coming in, pushing people in the face, ripping balls out like he normally does, playing dirty, which I don't mind. I like that kind of play. I like Rodney Harrison playing that way. But I said to Andy, this team's got guys like Mawai on it who will go after your knee. Now, this is my impression of the play. I don't think the block itself was dirty, but I do think they were going after him on purpose. Because he was doing stuff, and you can TiVo it back. I don't know if you can see it on the TV, but we saw it up top. He was pretty chippy in that game right from the start, even for him.
Big time.
And I think that while the play itself was legal, they were attacking him and they were going after him.
See, okay. I don't think
Well, definitely the reaction that apparently they had, kind of laughing.
Yeah, to me, that's the only thing they did wrong. I don't think they tried to hurt him. I don't think they targeted him. But I do think there was an air of, that's what you get. Karma. It's come back to you.
Well, then they were kind of targeting him a little bit.
But Patriots fans.
No. There's a difference between targeting someone and trying to hurt them and saying, after he got injured, on a football play. People get hurt all the time on the football field. Then you say, well, you kind of got what you deserved on that one. There's two very different things there.
Patriot fans have to understand something. Last year when we were doing our polls and we asked Patriot players who's the dirtiest player in the NFL, four or five of them said, you mean other than Rodney?
Right.
So let's not wash our hands here and say, oh, Rodney's this. Listen, off the field, one of the nicest guys you ever meet.
Yep.
On the field, an absolute animal. And he plays dirty. I like it, but let's not say, well, the Titans are dirty and Rodney Harrison isn't.
No, my way is.
Tom likes it as long as he doesn't play the Cowboys.
Good to see Vinny.
I don't mind that. They could use some whooping.
Good to see Vinny get the TD. Didn't think BB was that kind. I guess he means kind as in nice. Yeah, he likes that kind of stuff.
No, this team doesn't believe in
Yeah, he's not real big on individual accomplishments. Except they made sure they got Corey Dillon past O.J. Simpson, and they made sure they got Vinny Testaverde.
Called up and asked how many yards Dillon was away from O.J. Simpson.
Good to see. Let's see. Perfect conditions for Corey, and I'm not saying all the crap we heard weeks ago about him being the best running back because his cross-field run in Maroney's hands would have gone all the way.
It was still a great play.
Yeah, Dillon had a good game. He ran as hard as I've seen him run in a while.
Oh, he's been building. Whether he knew it and all that calling out seems to have paid off because he is hitting stride at the right time. He's playing very well right now.
He brought the pain. Maroney did.
So is Maroney, by the way, who came back and we're starting to see that he had building early in the year. It's back. I'm excited. I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of old school, and I would rather see teams run the ball, especially if you can have the production of those 20-yard runs and explode through defenders. And I'm intrigued to see what those two can do in the postseason if given the opportunity to each carry it 17, 18 times and just plow a team over.
In a pass play, a lot of times one guy gets beat. But in a running play, it's almost like everybody gets beat. And they are.
Plus, it's not as pretty.
Demoralizing. When you run the ball, it demoralizes the defense.
And not just that, but if you run by a guy, okay, you beat him, maybe you embarrassed him, but if you stiff-arm this guy and the other guy's arms, he tries to tackle you, and you just run right through it, to me, that's football. That's fun to watch.
You know,
that's playoffs.
You're off the plane, you're getting your ass blocked, and you can't get to it.
Right.
It's just,
As a Patriots fan, that's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see this O-line come out and just go forward three steps every play, opening up holes, and whether it's Maroney or Dillon, just run the ball right down their throats.
Yeah, I would say if Brady has 300 yards, the game is either close or the Patriots lose.
Right.
Because I think they should be able to pound the ball right at the Jets.
Maroney did get more carries this week, only by one, but I'd still rather it be one in his favor than the other way around. Is it me?
Yet again, he was prettier, averaging the exact same yards per carry every game.
Is it me or did Jackson see more of the ball this week? He didn't amaze me with anything he did, but it was still nice to see him making plays, and he does look quick when he sets off.
Well, he only had two catches, right?
And one of them was at the end with Testaverde on a fourth down.
Right, and one was for no gain, I believe.
So you're saying, Chad Jackson's in the game when Vinny Testaverde's in the game.
Right.
Is that a good sign?
And he had a nice return, a 37-yard, 39-yard return. Which actually I think is an interesting aspect because he wasn't a star returner in college. And I'm interested to see, they've given him these opportunities late in the year, if they have plans of continuing that into the postseason, how he handles that and what he contributes.
Phil is from Newington, Connecticut. He says, in all honesty,
that's not Phil.
Besides checking the box score every Monday, I have not followed the Jets season. How did they win 10 games? Each week I'm surprised to see them keep winning, but then I noticed their opponent, other than New England, seems to be an incredibly weak team.
Here we go. Well, hang on.
What
one second,
quality
Fred.
Wins have they had? Where can they hurt us? Do you see something that can be legitimately scare the Pats?
Now, Fred, hang on a second. Now, I think the Jets are going to get killed here, but correct me if I'm wrong. 2001 Patriots, did I hear this same thing? Didn't play anybody?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Actually,
How are they winning games?
Right, you did.
2001 Patriots. How about the 2006 Patriots?
Well,
Jets are 1-3, I believe, against winning teams. Patriots are 2-3 or 2-4. They have one more win against winning opponents.
Right. The Jets, they're very well coached. They do the little things well. And the Patriots fans should know better than anybody. That gets you a long way. Now, I don't think it's going to get them past the Patriots, but don't take anything away from them. They've had a good year.
Yeah. On a side
and they do the thing, the little, like, third down.
Yeah.
Those kinds of plays.
Stay on the field.
Not, they're not going to wow you with a lot of numbers.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, when it matters and Pennington needs to make that third and seventh throw, he seems to make the throw.
On a side note, I haven't seen Teddy Bruschi that fired up in a long time. Harrison.
I have. Just watch a training camp practice when he's trying to kill a teammate.
Harrison's injury hurts bad. Do you see the Pats using it, though, for motivation? Can that sort of thing carry over from game to game? And can you justify the 9-point spread?
I don't think the motivation thing matters right now. It's playoffs. You know what I mean? You, if you're not motivated to play in the playoffs, then you shouldn't be playing in the NFL. I don't think that'll motivate anybody. I thought the spread would be 7. Andy asked me what I thought it would be. I said 7. So I was off by a couple of points.
Well, the
one thing in the NFL is playoff spreads are usually high, especially in the early rounds, because good teams are usually playing at home. So you got the 3 points for playing at home, plus they're usually better than the other team they're playing, and you usually see kind of a touchdown spread.
Yep.
So, but the Jets, best record in the NFL against the spread this year. Hmm. They're in a lot of games.
Sean, Macon, Georgia. I guess Dan Klecko got the Pats back by catching a touchdown pass in a 5-point game. The Pats would have moved up to 3 seed and played the Chiefs, but Dan Keith Byers Klecko snuck into the flat and hauled in his first ever TD. What a catch.
He look like a circus clown.
How could they let this guy go? He is the next Larry Centers. Forget Oliver Hoyt. Check out the hands on Dan Klecko. I'm sure Bill is losing sleep these nights wondering why he didn't keep this guy. Goodbye, third seed, and hello, New York Jets. Hello, man genius. Hello, handshaking controversy at the end of the game. Hello, Justin Miller. Oh, the humanity. Now, could you do this? How could you do this to us, Klecko? What next? Doug Gabriel will go to the Colts and catch three TDs against the Chiefs? I can't take it anymore. I think he's just kidding around.
I got it. I don't think there's ever been as much laughter as when Bielo said Manning 4-yard touchdown pass to Klecko, because we hadn't seen the play. We just got the update from Bielo's phone, and it was so funny because we figured, well, he must have lined up at tight end or fullback. I thought he would have been more wide open when we first heard about it, but the guy's right. He actually made a pretty good grab for Klecko. That's good. Klecko's a good guy.
I got no problem with him.
Very good guy.
Fred, did you go out and buy a Colts Klecko jersey yet?
No.
I thought you would.
Why would I?
It's your favorite player in the National Football League.
Colts
Klecko jersey. We don't even have Ty Warren jerseys here.
That's true.
Once again, Andy talking out of his you-know-what. Bill from Malden, Mass.
Everything comes out of my you-know-what.
I was listening to Patriots Monday yesterday, and several calls revolved around Deion Branch and the Pats personnel decisions in general. The response from Fred and the other guys on
Smurless,
that show
not Kirsch.
Was usually the same. Who won 3 of the last 5 Super Bowls? Who has the best quarterback and coach in the league? How dare you question their decisions? Earlier this year, I asked, why not use more 4-3 or do something to get Seymour producing again? I think Paul said, why? They're the fifth in the league in defense, so they must be doing something right. But the Pats didn't win the Super Bowl last year, did they? They weren't first in defense this year at the time. They were fifth. They aren't 16-0. They are 12-4. So some things they do not
Mr.
work.
Negativity.
Some things need to be improved.
Saying he can coach better than Belichick?
As improbable as it is to win every game and win the Super Bowl every year, that's why they play, isn't it? That's what fans want,
who's
to
this?
Be champions.
This email's pretty stupid. I'm sorry.
Anything less, by definition, is a failure. So why be satisfied with 3-5 years or fifth place in defense or whatever?
Satisfied. They have a game this Sunday against the Jets with a chance to win another
Andy,
one.
Andy, if you were a head coach of a professional football team and I said you'll finish in the top 5 in defense, you'd be happy with that?
Yes.
Only one team can be one.
Plus, Bill, we've said this 1,000 times. If at all possible, Bill Belichick's defensive choice is the 3-4.
Right.
Now, game planning, he sees things. He goes, you know what, this week it's better to go 4-3, change it up. It attacks this weakness, this strength. But in general, he wants to play a 3-4. I heard him on the radio. His coach's question of the week was, how do you defend the run and shoot? And he said, well, there's a lot of different ways to defend things. The most important thing is to do what you think your football team is best at and can accomplish the most success with on the football field. In his mind, that's the 3-4. He thinks the 3-4 is his team's defense. That's what he wants. So more often than not, that's what he's going to line up in.
Now you're saying 3-4, Andy. Now, that would be the Jets run the 3-4, right? The Cowboys, The Chargers, the Patriots, the Steelers won the Super Bowl last year. It seems like this defense works pretty well. This guy wants to go to the 4-3.
Right. Here's the bigger issue I think that the emailer has, is that when a fan writes in with a suggestion or calls, they get shot down as, like, you should never question
like we're doing.
That's not true, but it should at least be somewhat intelligent, Fred.
Okay.
No, I agree. If they just yell 3 and 5 years, if they just keep yelling that, that's being shot down.
But this, now if he wrote in and said they finished 15th in defense,
right,
he's got an argument. But to finish in the top 5 in defense, any team in the NFL would take that every year. And to say, well, they only won 12 games, shouldn't you try to win 16? Well, I think they were, but
right.
12-4, that's pretty good. They won the division.
And for, I mean, I kind of agree with Paul. They've had a lot of success in the 3-4. They've drafted players intent on playing the 3-4. Why are we throwing it around? Because they struggled for a 2-week span. They just set a franchise record for points allowed.
I like it. I like
it. And you can question the team. There's no problems with that.
We question them more than anyone.
It's hard to question a top 5 defense. It was like when people were questioning Tom Brady, and we said, Tom Brady's pretty good.
You know what?
Maybe had Junior Seau not been as good as he was, maybe we would have seen more 4-3
right.
along the way or something. But it worked out where they were having pretty good success with the 3-4, so they stuck with it. That's what they want to stick with.
Sawyer from Waterloo, Iowa, happy to see another hard-fought win. What was all the fighting about? Can't we all just get along? Did Bill play the starters for so long because of the way the Titans were acting with their rough play? No, I just think it was a competitive game, and he wanted to keep it going. You know, I hated to see Rodney leave the game. Did Teddy really go at the Titans bench after that cheap shot?
Yes.
Yes, he did. Vinsanity has my vote for Rookie of the Year.
He won it today.
He looked pretty good. Still rather have Brady.
Well, yeah. That's not a very
That's
fair
like
comparison.
The James Sanders Rodney Harrison thing.
I've decided that Vince Sanity is Doug Flutie.
Yes, so. Fred has made up his mind.
And as we know, the role Fred plays on this show is the
buffoon.
Idiot. Buffoon, that works too.
Who has the better pick score against the spread this year?
You do, Fred.
That's right.
Against the spread this year on Thursdays. How many qualifiers are you going to put in there?
Let me tell you something.
Fred, you won.
There's a reason I'm the boss.
Fred, you won fair and square. I can't take anything away from you.
Oh, Fred, I wanted to ask you a question. We didn't really touch on this, but the whole Darren Williams being shot in Denver.
Yes, tragedy.
Obviously a tragedy. But did you read some of the stories? The club, it was a Kenyon Martin Denver Nuggets New Year's Eve party, I guess. But the club where they were shot outside of was on the second floor of this building. Is known by a few different names, apparently. Doesn't have a sign or anything anywhere on the building. The only sign on the building is for the whatever the building used to be in the past.
Right.
This led me to believe it's one of your parties. One of your, you got to knock and know the password,
right,
and not
is.
Really
a private party.
Little, thing. Not really on the totally the up and up.
I'm telling you, these players have to realize that they got to put.
Stake?
They either got to put that stuff behind them, or you know they're not selling out. If they decide they don't want to hang out with that element.
Right. But it's not just players.
But
I mean,
now
we talked about it earlier. No one fights anymore. No one punches.
Right.
You're shot. You're dead. Right.
And now, Fred, we should preface this by saying that if it was a Kenyon Martin party and they just went and got into an argument with a group of people that they don't hang out with, and they came up, I mean, that's different than hanging out with the wrong crowd. We don't really know the facts yet.
No, I mean, that's his circle of, his social circle. He's a pro athlete in Denver. He's a pro athlete to some, those are your peers. I mean, that'd be like me going to Paul's house. He's another writer. I'm a writer, you know.
Yeah, I mean, in the old days, me and Andy were talking about it. The worst thing, you catch one in the chops. You know, someone sucker punches
now
you or something.
Dead.
Now they're assassinating you on the side of your vehicle. I don't understand
it's
it.
It's ridiculous.
And I kind of forgot that a lot has gone on in Denver. When you read those AP stories and they finish with, you know, Joey Porter was shot there. A couple other athletes were shot there, and you forget there. It's all you think of Denver. I don't really think of Denver that way.
When we were there, I was thinking, boy, this would be a great place to live.
Right. Well, apparently not.
It was sure nice of the Titans to buy the turf from Gillette to help us pay for a real playing surface. Boy, that field was in pretty bad shape, huh?
Yeah. Which one? Name a football game and the field was in bad shape. They should all go to the field turf.
I have a new favorite college team. It's Boise State Broncos. Not only was that some of the gutsiest play calling I've ever seen, they executed it to perfection. I would be glad to see Nick Satan leave so I don't have to see his Weasley face twice a year. And that's it.
I'm sure there's some people in Miami that are happy he's leaving.
yeah. office personnel oh. And around
Harvey
the stadium.
Harvey Green, maybe?
Maybe.
Where do you think they go now?
I don't know. Fred said Huizenga was asking for suggestions from the media.
He actually said, if anyone has any ideas for us, email them in, positive or negative.
You got Danny
said that to the media.
That means they're not going up.
Can you believe?
You gotta be kidding me.
Can you believe that? Can you imagine Robert Kraft saying, hey, if anyone has... Dan, well, Shaughnessy, if you've got any ideas
I'm gonna
for
throw
us,
a name. I'm going to throw a name out there.
Josh McDaniels.
That's the name.
Okay.
Head coach?
That's the name.
Why not?
Crazy.
I'll tell you why.
Yeah, and they were crazy
I'll
last
tell you why.
Year with Eric Mangini.
It's monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah.
This new thing, these young head coaches you're seeing come in and get instant success. And the NFL, they follow what's
yep.
going on.
No question.
A few years ago, what was it? Let's retread these old guys like Gibbs and Parcells. They ain't doing nothing, all right, because the football's passed them by. So now the new thing is let's get these young minds who have worked under good coaches, and they're probably better fit than the real coach
Mangini
right now.
You think looks young? Have you seen Josh
McDaniels? I know. I'm just saying. You know, just think for the –
No way.
Why?
He's just too young, too inexperienced, would not get the respect from the players.
Package deal.
You
Josh
said
McDaniels,
the same thing
Nick
about
Casario.
Mangini. You said the same thing about Mangini. How about, we all did.
How about McDaniels and Josh Brian Daboll?
I was talking
but,
about.
But
I think
Fred,
they need
we
to get a
We were all
good
saying the same thing about
type
Mangini,
here.
Though. The defense right. sucked for like 8 games last year, and then Belichick took it over, and we're like, they hired this guy. He wasn't even in charge of the defense when it was good.
Now
he
him.
Goes and he's coach of the year. I'm just saying, watch out. Some people might be interviewing.
And
Josh
by the way,
McDaniels.
You don't think he'll get respect? No one thought Mangini would get respect. They were ripping him, and then I see them beating the Patriots on this field and rallying behind their coach and defending him. To the end.
But he's bigger.
But and say what you want, Fred.
So you got to be fat to be a head coach?
Well, you got to be kind of big.
Teams are going to look at...
That's
wait,
the dumbest thing you've ever said, and you've said a lot of dumb things.
Teams are going to look at this
if you're young, you
offense.
Be big.
It got better as the year went on
right.
with no receivers.
No talent. We keep saying, you know, praise Tom Brady because he worked with no talent. So did a 28-year-old offensive coordinator. He worked with no talent.
Watch it. John Gruden, 31, when he got the head coaching job. Watch it.
Okay. Mangini to the Dolphins.
If not this year, next year, he'll be a hot commodity.
All okay. right.
But I think they need to get a front office, too, there.
They don't
need
got
somebody.
Yeah, they're in shambles.
I mean, when Dan Marino took the job, turned it down.
Yeah.
They need to find a good combo. And I really think that's the way to go these days. I think you've been proven. You need two guys that are on the same page that are pretty talented to do it. I think it's hard to have one guy with total control do everything and not trust other people. And
all right. Well, we got a lot of emails to get to. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, sweetie. When I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really?
That much. Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
Well, it's that time of year again when Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty new snack wrap from McDonald's. It's a premium chicken select with lettuce, cheddar jack cheese, and ranch sauce, all wrapped in a warm flour tortilla. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select, and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of a pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Breaks a tackle, drives it upfield to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson!
First round draft pick in 2004 to only the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history. Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the third-time Super Bowl champ.
One of the best I've ever seen.
You can get him a exclusively from the New England Patriots, signed by Benjamin Watson, free. His authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait to fly at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to your first 400 qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
This is PFW in progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Do you know who I am? I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books. And my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words, Andy was the balls.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
And some guy named Tom.
People seem to like me because I am polite, and I'm rarely late. I like to eat ice cream, and I really enjoy a nice pair of slacks. Years later, a doctor will tell me that I have an IQ of 48 and am what some people call mentally retarded.
EFW in progress.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Afternoon delight.
Okay, now before the break and early in the show, Tom made a guarantee that if the Jets win, he would kiss Andy Hart's bare rear end.
Yes.
And we've had several emailers call in reaction to that. So I want to get to those emails. Ron from Raymond says, Tom, please stop guaranteeing a Patriots win. Your guarantee makes me nervous.
I have nothing to do with the outcome of the game. Nothing. Just because every time he makes a guarantee, it's wrong. He really has nothing.
That's not true. Let's see. Strawman says, Tom, are you sure you want to make a bet like kissing Andy's bare ass? I think he might take you up on that.
He's the gay one on this panel.
This is football, and stranger things have happened in games than a New York Jets win. Both teams are evenly matched. If I'm not mistaken, the Jets won 6 of the last 7.
Evenly matched?
Just like the Patriots. I really hope you win, Tom. I'm not looking forward to see your lips or Andy's butt on my podcast. Good luck, Tom. P.S. I just saw you on a podcast, Tom. You are a hunk.
Oh. Is that a girl?
No.
Oh. Oh. I thought I had some groupies.
Tom, you are a hunk.
Oh, man. You are done, Fred. You should have never read that.
Ken from Johnson, Vermont, just logged on to listen, was wondering,
Tom, you are a hunk.
What Tom thought about this week. Maroney was awesome this week. Also, the offense looked great. The D looked great, all but the one drive with the three big runs. Looks like the Pats of old, huh? Fred, how far will they go in the playoffs? I want your pick for who they will play in the Super Bowl.
Well, apparently he doesn't care what Andy has to say.
We're going to take this one game at a time right now.
And Fred, I just wanted to mention, they're showing the NFL's greatest games up here.
Yeah.
And it's the Cowboys 49ers game, and where the Cowboys won the first Super Bowl in the 90s. And
as if we can.
But no, I'm saying they were only 13-3. It's amazing, because that one emailer would have said that's not good enough to win the Super Bowl, lost three games.
Both those teams are losers. They didn't go 16-0.
John writes in, Andy, Tom wants other men's bodies. He wants to have sex with other guys. I'd make sure Tom doesn't slip you the tongue.
Oh.
Hey now. That's good.
That's
Fred
good.
Loves this because now we're turning into Howard Stern.
Who said I wanted to have sex with other guys?
Well, you said you wanted to bend them over, pull their pants down, and give it to them.
Yeah, that's what I do when I kick the crap out of people. And if that emailer was here, I'd give him my fist right upside his head.
I don't think he'd mind that. It's the fear that you would bend him over, pull his pants down.
Maybe when I got done bludgeoning him to death, I'd do that too.
Okay. Let's see what else we have here. Dwayne writes in, I just read a report that Matt Millen is keeping his job with the Lions. Are you kidding me? What more does ownership have to see to fire this guy? If Millen isn't fired this year, what would it take, in your estimation, to fire Millen? And how many years does he have left with the team?
Till the old guy dies.
I know a couple of Detroit fans, and it's not just the Millen thing that gets to them. It's the way this organization has been run for 30 years, and it's almost like they're beaten to death. You know what I mean? Like, the fight is just out of them. They can't even believe how this team is run. And I want someone from Detroit to write in and explain to me, how do you expect to win? So, I mean, that's the structure you've got in place, a guy who has proven to do nothing. Look at the people he's drafted. Look at that team. The only team they could possibly beat is the Cowboys because they stopped playing a couple of weeks ago. They're awful. They really are. I mean, I don't see any talent. They couldn't re-sign. They get Mike Fury. He has a breakout year. There's a guy, hey, you think you might want to keep him? No, they can't keep him. Now he's going to free agency. See you later.
Well, they've been bad for so long, and John Kitna's their quarterback.
Yeah.
They've had opportunities to get a quarterback.
Well, listen, and here's a funny one.
They missed.
You guys are going to die laughing, and I swear to God.
Joey Harrington.
No, you're going to die laughing when you hear this, but I swear to God I heard it. Despite the fact of their recent draft history, with their current stable of receivers, the Detroit Lions are looking hard at Calvin Johnson. Can you imagine that?
Imagine if they take another wide receiver.
Can you imagine that?
Oh, my God. Which team do you think the Pats match up best against, Chargers or Ravens? Don't you have the feeling this choice is between the Pats on the receiving end of a blowout or losing a close one?
That's actually how I think it is. I think you're worse than both those. I think you're clearly third in that if you rank those teams. And I do think there's a chance the Chargers just blow you the crap out. And then as I think there's a chance that you stay within 10 points, but the Baltimore Ravens beat the living you-know-what out of you on the way to victory.
Yeah, I'm a little different with Andy. I think they can stay closer with the Chargers. I think the Ravens' defense too much for them.
Is the Ravens' offense prone to make mistakes? If so, I think the Pats may have a chance. I haven't seen many Baltimore games. San Diego may be a nightmare matchup. They just win games.
Yeah, but they're prone to make mistakes right now. Phillip Rivers is not playing well.
Yeah, you know, there's a little misconception there. Since Billick took over the play calling, that offense has been almost perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, they've played really well.
They really have. It's one of the few times where, you know, you looked at something and said, oh, here's a scapegoat move, but it actually paid off.
Fred, we've sort of given our opinions here. What's your opinion on a matchup with either the Ravens or the Chargers?
I'd rather play the Ravens.
Why?
Because I think that I trust the Patriots' defense to hold the Ravens to, you know, under 17 points, and I'm just hoping that the Patriots can just do enough on offense to score more than 17
Fred,
points.
Fred, see, here's my problem with your theory. You're matching up Patriots offense or Patriots defense with Ravens offense. I'm taking into account the turnovers that the Ravens defense is going to cause to give their offense a short field. That's my worry with the Ravens.
Yeah, sure.
Their defense is so athletic, so quick, so good, causes so many turnovers. I don't think if the Ravens have to drive 80 yards all day that they're going to put up many points on the Patriots. I'm worried about their defense creating field position and turnovers. That's my biggest fear with that team.
I mean, it's definitely either way.
Do you think both of those teams are clearly better than the Patriots right now?
Yes.
Okay. I agree with you.
Well,
I think you could lose both games. You could lose them in very different ways. Now, that's not to say they couldn't win either, because I think they could win both. But I think if you just sort of the all things being equal, I think those two teams are a little better.
They're just a little bit more, you know, Baltimore's defense is a little bit better than the Patriots. Well, I'd say a lot better than the Patriots' defense. And their offense is balanced enough. Whereas in San Diego, I think when they're playing right, they got it on both sides of the ball.
Well, they have the talent. There's no question they have the talent.
Let's see. San Diego may be a nightmare matchup. They just win games. San Diego's won in every imaginable way this season, especially during their 10-game streak. You just can't stop LT because if you stop the run, he can catch passes out of the backfield, and Rivers is no slouch. Not to mention that the last two times the Pats played the Chargers, the Pats had no answer for LT. Well, that's true. I mean, they really have. Well,
not too many people have a real great answer for LT. He's a pretty good player now.
Yeah.
Josh in Jacksonville says, I was a little curious about Maroney. Do you think we will see a heavy dose of Boney Maroney? I was wondering also if Belichick has been trying to keep a lid on Maroney for the last couple games so we can use him as a main part of the game plan in the playoffs. Could this be one thing Mangini possibly couldn't game plan for? P.S. Well, the Jags suck.
Well, he...
Oh, they cleared house, just their coaching staff.
Yeah, I saw that. Is Campo still there?
Yeah, I didn't see his name on the list.
Amazing. Yeah, but Maroney's been injured. So I don't think he was fully recovered probably until this week. And he should be pretty healthy. I don't know. What's that mean, game plan? They know Maroney's coming.
Well,
if you can't stop the run, you can't stop it.
Right, no, I agree.
That's and the one thing you can't really game plan for.
I would be surprised if it was suddenly 28 carries for Lawrence Maroney and Dylan didn't get any.
Yeah.
I would think they're going to stay relatively.
Yeah.
They're going to stay balanced. And if anything, Dylan looks as good as he's looked all year. Why are you going to bench him now?
Yeah.
You had that opportunity way back when.
Donaldo from Uruguay says, hey, Andy.
What's up?
What's with the lack of substance for an Ask PFW? There were only like 8 questions or something.
All I had.
Still suffering from a New Year's hangover, or did nobody write in this week? Anyways, if Tom Brady were to get hurt early in the Jets game, who goes in the game, Matt Castle or Vinny Testaverde?
Matt Castle.
Right.
Well, he says the answer may not be that obvious, but I think it's Castle.
Listen.
Well, plus, if you put Testaverde in, you're screwed because he's your emergency quarterback. You can't do it by rule before the fourth quarter. So, I think it'd be Castle. And for the Ask PFWs, we didn't have a ton. I also wasn't really planning on doing it. I thought we were on holiday hiatus, and Paul said, you're doing Ask PFW? So I threw together what I had in my inbox.
Listen, it's not even close. Vinny Testaverde couldn't play 2 years ago in Dallas. He can't play football anymore. It's Matt Castle by a mile.
PJ,
he just comes in to throw touchdown passes late.
PJ Naccarelli, yo, guys, what's up? Before I get into the big game this week, I have to say that the Fiesta Bowl game the other night between Boise State and Oklahoma was the greatest finish I have ever seen in a football game. That was awesome.
There's been a lot of good finishes.
In terms of quirkiness, that was pretty good.
No, quirkiness, but I remember watching Vince Young scramble on a fourth down for a national championship
Flutie.
A year ago. The Doug Flutie game.
There was
the Miami-Nebraska two-point conversion play for the national title. There's been a lot of great games.
This one, because of going for it, and because of the actual play and it being quirky,
and it
sort
being
of a
the
trick,
underdog, it wasn't it wasn't Texas
it
USC
was a good,
when they were both powers.
It was a good movie kind of football game
good.
Ending.
By the way, Tom, you were all over that BC pick, your lock of the year. Anyway, on to
what
the Pats.
I had BC. He forgot to mention USC though. I've won 6 in a row now.
Anyway,
he just
right.
looks past the losses.
No, I said I came on here and said I had
a
tough stretch.
Was that your play of the year? College football play
it
of
was.
The year.
It lost, and that's what killed James, and that's why he's not talking to me anymore.
Literally.
I don't love the matchup this week. I know the Pats are the better team, but the one advantage that the Patriots have in the playoffs is the coaching and game planning of Belichick.
He's still
a better coach than Mangini, but Mangini knows Belichick better than anyone, and I don't think Mangini and the Jets will be surprised by anything that the Pats throw at them. I don't see Pennington getting confused like we have seen Manning in the past, and with Rodney out, it's going to make it that much tougher. I still think the Pats win, but I'm very nervous about this one. And by the way, Fred, I didn't listen on Friday until late because you said on Thursday, see you guys next Wednesday. It just goes to show that I hang on Fred's every word.
I'm sorry.
Well, I will disagree with one thing. They're showing a fat pile of garbage on TV right now by the name of Bill Parcells. I would say he probably knows Belichick better than anyone. They've been together so long. Mangini knows him, but if you're still, Belichick is still the better coach.
Right.
He still has the more talented players. He still has Tom Brady.
Yeah.
That's all advantage Patriots.
Tom, you are a hunk. P.S., did you guys happen to see Albert Haynesworth complaining about the Pats running up the score with Testaverde? I guess Albert would have rather us just stepped on his quarterback's head. What a joke. Hey, Albert, just shut up for a year or two, because after what you did, nobody wants to hear you criticize anyone else.
I agree with that.
Yeah, he should not be talking to anybody about anything. That's what I say. Russell, beneath the blue suburban sky of the OC.
I don't need you tonight, baby. I got Notre Dame.
Seeing that field on Sunday convinced me that field turf should be mandatory. I don't fear the Jets at all. Clearly a fluke 10-win season. I like feeling that both Belichick and Brady will be out to prove that the Jets' win in Foxborough was more of lack of execution by the Patriots than being outmatched by the scary skill of the Jets. Reading the Herald Tuesday, They seem to think Harrison has a sprained MCL. Coming from the Herald, there's a 50% chance it's true.
100%.
It's 100%.
Is his
injury... And John Tomasi's been right on virtually every injury report he's had all year, so I don't see any reason to doubt him.
No question. He has the best medical sources in New England.
Mike Reese hasn't broken an injury in, what, 3 years?
Is his injury on the same leg hurt last year? No, is it the same knee?
It's the other one.
Different one.
Okay. It's the right leg.
That's good. I'd like to see the Patriots just run the ball down the Jets' throat Sunday. Oakland moved the ball pretty good on them, so a large dose of Maroney Dillon should be in order. I also predict Larry Johnson will run for 200 on Indy. Kansas City seems to be of the mindset that ride the kid till he can't ride no more, and at 400-plus carries a year, he'll be done in 3 to 4 years, so they best use him now.
It's fine because he's a jerk.
I love playoff time and especially and really savor it, especially after all those decades of futility. Thanks. You're welcome.
You're welcome. We do our part.
All right.
I am. I'm really looking forward to this postseason as well.
Yes.
I'm very much looking forward to Saturday, where I can get all my crap done, then watch those games, then come here for a nice Sunday at 1 playoff game. That's not, you know, not a weird time and good matchup.
Well, I have to write the preview on Saturday, but according to Andy Hart, you can do that while you sneeze.
You should be able to.
Well, Mike Gerken, the Pickle Man, writes in.
Hey, Pickle.
I'm excited about the playoffs.
I really am.
Who is it? If you're not excited about the playoffs, A, you don't like football. B, you shouldn't have this job.
But see, I think I'm more excited this year than last year, and I don't know why.
Maybe it's
the matchup.
Maybe you know something.
Maybe.
Okay.
Or it's because you took last year off.
Great show as usual. I had some things I wanted to throw out there and get your thoughts and opinions on. One, I thought the way the Patriots used the running backs this week was perfect. Dillon was effective enough to wear down the Titans' defense and then let Maroney use his speed to cut through that tired defense. I agree with that.
Yep, we loved it. Want more.
Two, Rashay Caldwell really deserves a big hand for his play this year. He got off to a bit of a rough start, but he has really become a go-to guy and really showed the ability to go deep.
True. It's not his fault he's not a superstar number one receiver. I think he's done a very good job in the role he was thrust into.
I said at the top of the show, I like the fact that they went downfield, but do you think that those catches were more him beating the other guy or just bad coverage?
That one play was about as – we saw two of the worst plays we've ever seen this weekend. One was the Giant game on the Randall L. throw and the Ronaldo Hill. I mean, the ball's there.
Right.
At least go after it. Yeah. Jump. Yep. That was a bad – but, you know, Caldwell made the play. So.
Right. Three, Coach Fisher should be ashamed of his actions on Sunday. You could clearly see him taunting Patriots players from the sideline. There is no business for that in the NFL, especially from a head coach who came down so hard on his own players for taunting and hurting other players. Was he taunting players?
We couldn't see any of that. I don't know
his
if you
back
could see
was
it
to
or
us,
not.
So
yeah.
We don't know.
Artrell Hawkins on Patriots Monday said he was taunting him and Asante.
Really?
And Samuel said, what are you going to be doing next weekend on the beach in Hawaii?
Okay, well, that is kind of, I'm surprised.
Well, he is an ex-player hothead kind of guy. I mean, he has...
Yeah, Buddy Ryan. He was from Buddy Ryan.
He has that bloodline in him that at some point, and I think the game for a little while there got out of control. Tempers went above all else because there was so much on both sides. I truly believe that two teams that play to the line and then go past it on very often, two dirty teams, if you will, got together and played, and they clashed.
Yeah, and, you know, Buddy Ryan's a guy who put a bounty on a kicker once.
Right.
So, but I don't want to just gloss over the Patriots because there's one guy in particular I thought should have been kicked out of the game. It's Roosevelt Colvin. I'm sick and tired of him going over to the side because you're talking about Fisher now and all the Titan players. Colvin on every freaking play when he's getting beat is going over, making gestures to the sidelines, yelling. And you know what that does? It just extends the dirty play.
Focus on playing.
I mean, I'm sick of seeing it from him. You know?
And we've heard it all year. The Broncos were complaining about it. That he's like a gnat. He never makes a play. He's never making a play. He's celebrating, but he's always yapping, always pushing, always doing something, and they get annoyed with it. I think other players like Rodney Harrison, they take his crap because they know that he's better than them.
Right.
He makes plays. But if you're not going to make plays, I'm not taking your crap.
Four, Chad Jackson showed some glimpses of how special he can be if he can conform to the Patriots' concept. Hopefully,
I guess somewhere.
I missed the game.
Hopefully, Belichick's way of handling him this year has shown Jackson how he could be successful in the NFL.
I think I'd be the first person to say, okay, breakout game, about time for Chad Jackson.
And he had a nice punt return.
He had a nice punt return.
He gained some positive yards for once.
He had a 23-yard catch when the Titans
quit. Well,
he played the role of Bam Childress. He played the role of Kelvin Kite. If he had been Rishay Caldwell with four catches for 134 yards, okay, then I would have said, oh, you know, he did something, but. Are we just really grasping for straws that much on this guy?
We're
looking for anything.
It's every week people say he's going to have a breakout game, so when he finally does, they can say,
I think the fact that
be on that bandwagon. I just need it to happen
I think the
first.
Fact that they got the ball in his hands is a positive sign. I mean, they could have had him on the bench.
There's something there because during a rookie season, you want to see what Holmes did. You want to see he starts out with nothing. He adds a little to middle of the year. End of the year, he's starting to progress. We haven't seen anything from Chad Jackson, and that's a problem.
Five, with Saban leaving the Dolphins, that is like two victories in one for the Patriots. First, it gets a guy out of the division who's familiar with Belichick's system. It puts the Dolphins back into a rebuilding mode. Second,
two, we'll be drafting Alabama players.
Second, it puts a coach Belichick respects and can look forward to players back into the most competitive college conference and could become the Patriots' farm team like LSU had become. Six,
What LSU do? Is that Randall Gay and Marquise Hill?
Jarvis Green. Eric Alexander. Falk. Not Kevin Falk.
No, he wasn't there.
I mean, he came from LSU.
So they got one good player?
Right.
Okay.
I just saw that Andre Dyson is out for this week's game. While I am not sure of what his role is for the Jets, I believe he's a starter and should be a positive for the Patriots' passing game.
He's not a great player, but he is the starter. The one thing I want to argue with about the Alabama thing, I think sometimes that can be a negative. You know, when you talk to a close friend and if you're kind of on a fence about a guy, I think sometimes that's not always good, because if you're talking to somebody who isn't your close friend, he's probably going to give you, you know,
right.
You're probably, I don't know. I think it can go both ways on
I
that.
Actually like it for Randall Gay, that kind of guy who you'll have a specific knowledge of him and Saban says, you know what, he got hurt, he got banged up,
right.
That's why he didn't play more, but you bring this guy in as a rookie free agent, I think he's got a chance to make your
right.
team. That kind of guy, where I'm not sure much beyond that. You're right, they haven't. It's not like they've got a ton of superstars out of these places. You know, we have Marquise Hill as a second-round pick. Didn't work. We have Chad Jackson from Urban Meyer, Bill's new best friend.
Yeah.
Hasn't worked so far.
Well,
I mean, it hasn't
Pat
been
Hill,
the perfect.
The Pat Hill picks.
James Sanders, you think, can't play.
Well, wasn't Mankins a
Mankins.
Pat Hill guy?
Mankins was a good offensive lineman. I think he was known as that. I think that gets overblown a little bit.
Yeah.
I do think it's interesting. They just showed, of the five top-paid college coaches now, three of them are Bill's assistants, with Saban, Weiss, and Ferentz.
Does he get a kickback? Does Belichick
Maybe
get a
he does.
Kickback there? Antonio says, well, it looks like we better start welcoming a bunch of Alabama players in Foxborough over the next few years. I'm sure Bill is happy to regain talent evaluator and lose a division competitor at coach. My question is about college coaches who do not have much success in the NFL, whether it's Lou Holtz.
That would be everyone except for one.
Yeah. Whether it's Lou Holtz, Steve Spurrier, Nick Saban, it seems like coaches who go straight to the NFL from college struggle to adapt to the NFL game.
Because it's totally different.
I know that Saban had some experience with the pros with Bill, but for the most part it doesn't work. Coaches who do well are like Sean Payton and Mangini, who work their way up through an organization with direct NFL experience. I see the same problem for Bobby Petrino, Bob Stoops, or Kirk Ferentz. I hope they stay put, because I doubt they will make it in the pros. What do you think?
One man has done it, Jimmy Johnson. I don't count Barry Switzer.
Right.
He just came in and stood on the sidelines while his coordinators coached. I mean, I love Barry Switzer as a college coach, but I'm not going to count him. Jimmy Johnson's the only guy who's come in, taken a terrible team, and turned him into a powerhouse. Every other college coach, it hasn't worked out. And
it's
a
totally
different
beast.
It's a different
totally.
Game.
Yeah. Because in college, you're limited with how much time you spend with them. It's a business here. It's nonstop. Guys making money. It's not scholarships. You're stuck with a guy. I think football-wise, if it happened in a vacuum, the actual on the field on Saturday or Sunday, I think college coaches would do fine. But it's not. There's everything else. I think the actual on-field on Sundays is such a minimal part of it in this
I
day
guess
and age.
Having
plus
that
it's handling,
growing up in a system helps you
yeah,
in a pro
so
system.
Much, yeah.
And it's handling 17, 18-year-old kids compared to guys making
right.
$15, $20 million a year. You know, some guys like Pete Carroll, he can respond to those kids, and in a positive way. But here, I think if you're making $15, $20 million, you kind of just laugh them off a lot. And
right.
I think that's the difference.
Elgidio says, now with the Raiders and Lions on the clock, in what direction do you think they'll go? I'm not a fan of either team, but I worry that because both teams failed to pick a quarterback in the last draft, they'll reach for one of the lower-notch guys this year. What are your opinions overall on the QBs coming out this year, namely Brady Quinn, Jamarcus Russell, Brian Brohm, and Troy Smith? Are any of them really worth taking so high in the draft? Quinn, to me, is just another Rick Meyer in sheep's clothing. This draft seems much weaker than last year, or at least at the top of the board it does. Any thoughts?
I like Brohm the best. I think he came back from an injury. I think he's got a lot of talent. I do not like Jamarcus Russell. He's one of those guys Andy and I were talking about. He's one of those guys that has those physical things,
right.
But he doesn't progress on his reads. He doesn't, you know, get a lot of the tight balls in there. He's just physically gifted.
Right.
I compared him to David Garrard. I think he's that kind of player. Neither Andy and I like Quinn that much.
I hate Quinn, and it's probably going to blow up in my face, but
especially
I think
especially as the first pick in the
right.
draft type of thing.
I think he's a huge risk that high.
Troy Smith, I think if he goes later in the first round, that's a good pick because I think he can progress from where he is now. If you pick him in the top five, I think you're
right.
kidding yourself.
Right.
Whatever happened to the blue-chip quarterback?
Well, I mean, by the time April comes, one of these guys will be the blue-chip quarterback.
Yeah.
He'll be talked up, and I think it's going to be Quinn, and I shouldn't say stinks because I think his intelligence, his working in Weiss's system will give him an advantage. I just think in terms of pure physical ability, fitting a ball in when I need him to make a throw on a 15-yard out, I just don't think he's that good. I don't think he's that accurate for what he should be. But, I mean, he'll probably be a quarterback in this league for a while just because I think he's smart, comes from a pro system in college, and that I think that gives you a huge advantage.
You know what I think of Brady Quinn? I think he's Eli Manning. I thought Eli Manning was a pretty good college quarterback who could play in the NFL, but I thought taking him that high in the draft was ridiculous. I think the same thing of Quinn. I think he could be a pretty good NFL quarterback, but if you take him one, listen, the best player in that draft by a mile is Calvin Johnson, by a mile, followed by Adrian Peterson of Oklahoma. Those are the two best players in the draft. So if you're going by best player available, those are the two I would take. But like Andy said, I'm sure one of those quarterbacks will rise to the top, most likely Quinn.
Well, I saw a guy I loved the other night. 91 on... Was it last night? Who played last night?
Wake Forest and Louisville.
Louisville have a defensive end number 91 who's a beast.
He's great.
I like
him a lot. They also have a player on their defensive line that's a 19-year-old senior.
Well, I saw that guy,
He started playing college football when he was 16.
Because he's that smart?
No, he's from Africa or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's a beast,
he's
too.
A total different...
Tell you what, that Louisville's got a lot of talent.
Yep.
You want a school to cherry-pick some talent from?
Who won that game?
Louisville, 24-13.
All right.
Yeah, they lose Michael Bush, and then they got a couple running backs who just fill right in.
They're loaded. That guy's cheating like crazy there.
Michael in Texas, have any of the teams the Patriots played and defeated since they were shut out in Miami tried the same defensive scheme Miami was so successful in using?
No, they've run cover two crap. You know who
right.
will run that scheme? Baltimore with better players.
Well, yeah, that's you have to have some of the players. It's not just scheme. Having Jason Taylor all over the field and no one being able to block him is a big part of it. Their players made plays that day. I don't think it was any magic scheme.
You know what the scary thing about Baltimore is? Ray Lewis is like the eighth best player on
right.
that defense now.
And he's better than he was last year.
Yeah.
He's had a bounce-back year, which... By the way, no surprise, they draft a big tackle to plop in front of him, and suddenly he's making plays again.
Just like he said.
Right. But I think a lot of I agree with Bill. If everything else is done right on a play, then the other guy can make a play.
Patty from Ireland's mad at Andy.
Oh, screw you, Patty. Have a drink, you lush.
He says, last week I was going to email with an intelligent football question.
But you're not intelligent, so you didn't have any.
But since Tom wasn't there, I said, what's the point? But don't worry, Andy. If I have any vacuum questions, you'll be the first guy
you
I
know
ask.
What? Paul's the one who talks about vacuums. But just like a vacuum, you suck, you drunk.
Last week's show with Felger on it was brilliant. I was wondering, is there any chance of getting him on the show more often?
Yeah.
No.
And to make room, maybe you could get rid of Andy, because he brings nothing to the show.
You'd like Felger.
I'm all for your suggestion, but Felger's got about 900 things that he gets paid for. I don't think he's going to come here for free.
Once a week, because I think more than that, it wouldn't be
right.
good.
Yeah, he doesn't really know anything.
Felger's best in short doses.
All right.
And more than... and
kind of like you, Patty. Try short doses on the vodka. Maybe you wouldn't be such a drunk all the time.
Wow. You know, I'm telling you, some guys from Dorchester.
Eat the potato first, and at least it'll soak up some of it, and you won't fall on your face when you stumble out of the pub.
You're going to be taken away in the trunk of a Ford LTD, and that'll be the last we ever see
of you.
Yep. Car thief from Chicago. Of late, we see a lot of missed tackles, especially in the last few games. We are good at controlling the game, but we miss a few key tackles and then end up giving big plays. Agreed, we won consumably well against Jacksonville and Tennessee, but we gave up a lot of big plays in both games. Is it because Seau tackled better than the recent linebackers? I think Bruschi has lost a big step in his playmaking ability, and I agree to Andy's comments on Sanders. He has played well, but Ellis Hobbs and others lack big in tackling in the open field.
Well, some of the big plays, first of all, were Marquise Hill when he stepped on the field for two or three plays. Travis Henry had a couple 20-yard runs right at that left defensive
tackles.
End.
Yeah.
And one of the big plays was Asani Samuel was there. He just got outplayed by, who was the Tennessee receiver?
He bounced off of
him. Is it Jones?
Yeah, Brandon Jones.
Made a play, went up and got the ball. Samuel was there. It's another one of those where the DB had the chance to make a play and didn't.
I got news for you. You know who was missing some tackles in the open field is Rodney Harrison in a couple of games coming up from his safety position. And I agree with Andy. One of the guys who's not doing that is James Sanders. I think the best thing Sanders has done is come up from his safety position in running plays and stick guys.
Seen him stick guys. I've seen him make tackles. I've seen him get run over, but when he gets run over, he makes sure the guy comes down on top of him. I think he's a very sure tackler, and I know he drew some criticism.
Right.
He drew some criticism here earlier in the year from our emailers, but I think that was a misanalysis on their part. I think the one thing you know you get with him is he's going to be a pretty good tackler, but I think they've had issues. I think Mike Vrabel has struggled off and on this year, missing tackles in the open field on guys. I don't think tackling has been their strength on defense, which is sort of funny to say when they've been pretty good on defense, pretty good against the run on defense.
All right. The emails just keep coming in, guys.
Fast and furious.
Right. Ron says, the bottom line is the Patriots have to play mistake-free football against the Jets. We all know that when it comes to talent, the Patriots have it hands down. Right now, the Jets believe they can beat anybody, and they can if you let them. The Patriots need to get an early jump. If they do, they'll roll. One mistake, and it's an uphill battle, and it'll end up a three-point game. Either way, if the Patriots play the way they're capable of, they come away with a win.
True. But I don't think if they take a lead, the Jets will pack it in. I don't think that's what the Jets are. I think that's what the Jacksonville Jaguars were last year. I think this Jets team, they're going to fight to the end. I really think they're going to fight. I don't think they have enough bullets in the gun to do it, but I think that's one thing you're going to get is their effort. Tom's busy watching the 49ers Cowboys in the background.
Emmitt Smith, baby, touchdown.
Yeah, never heard that before.
Liam says, one, what's the over-under on rushing yards for Larry Johnson against Indy? If it's less than 150, I got to hit an ATM on the way home.
It's probably lower than that. They would never make an over-under rushing yards at 150. That's way too high because everybody would take the under. My guess if they have a...
What?
No, my guess is...
Tout Casale.
My guess is it's roughly around 130.
130.
Yeah.
I'll take the over. Give it a chance.
Yeah. I was going to say 120. That's a lot of yards, 120 yards.
Yeah, but he has a lot, and they stink.
But you know what they'll play when you make a line, what they'll put into consideration is if the Colts get up.
Right, then it's over.
And then they can't run him as much, so I figure probably around 130.
I got to tell you, your brain says, oh, they got a chance, they can run Johnson. I really think that game's going to be like 28-0, Colts rolling early.
Well, this is one of those games where everybody
knows.
Know
they can do it, though.
They haven't been playing well, but I feel like this is where it's almost like a Patriots-type thing where they still have Harrison, they still have Wayne, and in this round they have enough to do it.
I just feel like it's like Chad Jackson where we keep saying, all right, because I thought last week they were going to take Miami out behind the woodshed.
Right.
And, you know,
I'm telling you, they do it
there.
This week, they blow them out, and then they fall on their face next week. That's how it happens.
They'll definitely fall on their face next week. I agree with that.
Probably won't fall. They'll probably get pushed and then kicked and stomped.
Fall right in Baltimore while we're in sunny San Diego for 3 days.
Oh, God.
Let's see. Ryan, Liam says, too, can you guys think of a late-season personnel move that ended up being a bigger disaster than the Jay Cutler experiment? Instead of getting your young guys some experience and leading the team into the playoffs, they completely bomb and end up not qualifying after a humiliating loss to San Francisco at home. Talk about the opposite of a confidence boost. I disagree.
I disagree totally on that.
I think he played pretty well, in particular in that game.
And I'm not sure Shanahan really cared about the postseason. I think this was
next,
a championship.
This is for next year.
He did a gutsy thing, I think.
He did what he thought he did, could do to win a Super Bowl.
You know, I think at a couple levels, you got to admire what Shanahan did. And I've been kind of critical of him, you know, last few years, kind of overthinking things and getting a little bit kind of crazy.
And beating the Patriots.
he did the right thing by Jake Plummer. You know, not necessarily, you know, in the game plan, but he allowed the guy to keep his job and lose it on the field.
I'm not sure Jake Plummer feels that way.
Well, I mean, he could have had Jake. He could have brought Cutler in.
It is
in,
hard to
in
talk about
four.
These two guys. Jay and Jake.
He could have brought him in week four, but he kept Plummer in there for quite a while, and then. You know, when it was the end of the year and they were still in it, he made the move. So that was a gutsy, you know,
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why he made the move. Last year, I know they went to the AFC Championship last year, but this year the best case scenario would have been they got into the wild card round and probably lost in the first round with Jake Plummer as their quarterback. Now next year you have to start from scratch with Cutler. Now he's already got a few games under his belt. Next year they add some talent to that team. Obviously the death of Williams is a big blow. But if you add some, you know, they got Javon Walker. You know, they're going to get a running back. They're going to get a running back.
Well, you start next year with a guy who's had some experience now. He's played some games. He's seen what it's like. And you can start from, training camp on with the guy. You know, there's no question. Jake Plummer, I don't know what's going to happen to him, but he's not the starter at Denver next year. It's Cutler. And I think Cutler played pretty well in that game. You know, from what I didn't see it, but from what I understand, he had some nice drives. They kind of bogged down.
I'll tell you, man, the regular fan, they're awful tough on rookie quarterbacks. I don't think they realize how hard it is to come in
and
play that position in the NFL. I mean, Big Ben, I know he had that, but he had the Steelers running game.
Yeah. Right.
I know the Broncos
and
still
defense.
Run the ball well technically, but they're not the
like
same running
times
game.
A game.
Yeah, it just that's tough to criticize Cutler for their downfall.
Yeah. Three, I'm going to buy a block of tickets to the premiere of the upcoming Ryan Leaf movie. So let me know if you guys want in.
I definitely want to see
it. Is there a Ryan Leaf movie?
There's a guy working.
You don't talk to me, all right?
According to Andy.
Knock it off!
Why is he so important that he needs
it's the opposite
Rudy.
Rocky story.
The guy said we've seen so many of these where it's like the underdog and he makes it. There's no movies that tell about all the risks and the downfalls and how easy it can be thrown away for a guy who should be the star.
Is Ryan Leaf in on this? Is he?
He's been contacted. He might have a role in it, or even if
you don't
talk to me,
all
right? Is it done with his approval? I mean, is he a...
Well, you don't have to have his approval.
See,
to do it.
I think the better story probably would have been Tony Mandarich, but I mean, on the cover of Sports Illustrated,
there's a guy, you know, he was
made the All Madden team
talk
when
about
he was
blue
in,
chip
yeah,
draft
but
prospect.
To tell that story,
it's a steroid story.
Yeah, but you can get sued for that.
No, if he had the okay, I'm saying.
Right.
If Mandarich gave him the okay. If
Whereas
did,
the Leaf story
well,
why is
would
just
I even,
immaturity.
Right,
and
I know
bad
the
decision.
Ryan Leaf story. He flamed out. Why do I even want to see it?
What it's like to be,
why do you want to see any movie?
Why is
Some make you feel good, you know.
I mean, there's entertaining aspects. We've all seen
what is
going to
be entertaining
clip.
About seeing Ryan Leaf?
Well, what's entertaining
it's
about
the story,
any movie?
Fred. It's not just him stinking.
But it's
the
not
whole...
like he overcame cancer or,
it's
you know.
It's the opposite. It's the... They're going to show him in college throwing for 400 yards and on top of the world,
and
then
they're
boom.
They're going to show him like
they're
before
falling.
The draft,
what
everybody
I'm saying,
pining
yeah, but,
over
but
him.
Did something happen like lately that kind of?
No.
I mean, there's a lot of guys who were supposed to be good that never made
Why'd
it.
Why'd they
in
make
the NFL.
A movie about?
Well, they've never made a movie about it.
And there's a reason.
All right. I don't know. I'm not really
Sometimes
arguing with you.
Arguing with Fred is the most frustrating thing on the earth. Like. So in your mind, why should they make any movie? I mean,
because there's a good ending or there's an ironic ending.
All movies have good endings?
No.
This
but,
one,
but
is it not ironic that
maybe,
the guy was...
Maybe Ryan Leaf turns into a cyborg and starts killing people.
Any more guys don't make it in the NFL than do.
But not more guys who were considered to be neck and neck with Peyton Manning.
Well, I mean...
Right?
I
mean,
yeah,
he was neck and neck with Peyton Manning.
It's not like he committed
one guy
a murder
is now the great quarterback.
I don't see the compelling reason.
And there's a large
than,
argument that the physical than, is not the problem, that he exploded, and that's the story.
Well,
he imploded on his own.
I mean, did he do anything after football that was like
He's
newsworthy?
Coaching now. I mean, what do you want?
I don't know.
They're praising a president who died because he was president.
This is the guy who likes the Life Aquatic.
Right. I mean, you watch all these.
All right, so don't knock it until you've seen it.
That other stupid movie, they made perfect example. The one I thought was the Life Aquatic, the Lost in Translation.
It's a terrible movie.
But people raved about it, and the movie got made.
Okay, well,
you might hate this movie, but at least it can get made.
All right.
Give it a chance.
I just don't, you know, the Ryan Leaf story. I mean, who the hell, who cares?
Then they just shouldn't make movies or write books, according to you.
No, they should make it about interesting things and interesting people.
I hope this movie is made. I hope it wins Picture of the Year, so you can just eat it.
Sure.
They already have a trailer, and they did it. He knew sports fans would have some interest, but he brought the trailer to one of those cons or like one of those hoity-toity things.
Right.
And he said after it aired, people were all over him. All these snobby, don't know a thing about football, saying that's a great idea. The movie
the
looks
director
good.
Or
the
not,
whoever's making the movie,
not Ryan Leaf.
Can we get past the freaking Ryan Leaf
don't
in this?
Talk to me, all right?
Yeah, please don't talk to me. Just go on.
I really don't see without
move
his
on.
Without his input, how you're going to get the insight into what really happened.
Well, there's a lot of people that were there.
Next topic.
Apparently, there's a Rodney Harrison role. There's a Junior Seau role where Junior Seau took Ryan Leaf. They tricked him into taking all the veterans out to dinner, and then he has to pay at the end.
Right, it's a rookie thing.
He refused to pay. The next day on the football field, Junior Seau ran full speed through Ryan Leaf, despite his red non-contact jersey, stood over him and looked down and said, "You ready to pay now?" Those are the little interesting things that I think people will find entertaining. But not you, because they shouldn't even make the movie.
So it ends up, he flames out, and it doesn't make it in the NFL.
So only positive stories should be told.
No, but...
Only positive stories, not the guy who should have been great but wasn't.
Well, I just don't see, like, why do we care about Ryan Leaf?
I stopped caring about this conversation minutes ago.
Pretend he played for the Patriots and flamed out. You'd be all for it. You'd be making
the
movie.
I wouldn't.
You and your Three Games to Glory Enterprises
really
would be making the movie.
I mean, the Tony Eason movie. It's not coming out.
He wasn't Tony Eason.
You know,
this guy was supposed to be Peyton Manning.
Okay, the Sims, what's his name? The guy that they drafted the first round overall on the Patriots. What's his name? Sims.
In English.
You know?
The offensive lineman?
Yeah, I mean, who cares?
Different era.
Who's his agent?
This
Ben
happened
Doka?
In the media era when he had the blow up with the reporters, when he had problems.
You know what? I can see this on an HBO Brian Gumbel show. What's that show that he does?
I don't know. Can you read it?
Or
email?
60 Minutes.
All right.
But a full
Real
length
sports.
Feature movie? Real
me.
Sports. I could see that's a nice piece for this.
Do you have any emails?
But a full length feature movie? All right. P.S. Pat's
35. Patty, email back
Pat's
in.
10.
I like dealing with you more than Fred.
Yes, it's the playoffs, but come on. Coming off a humiliating loss to Benedict Arnold's new team, no way are the Jets in this game beyond the first quarter. So, there you go, Andy.
Huh?
You think it's going to be close? Strawman says, Rob says, Harrison dirty? If Harrison was a dirty player, no one would have any respect for him. I see Rodney more on the same plane as the great Ronnie Lott was, hard hitter with great timing.
And he's voted dirty by the players. I don't know what to tell you.
And
it wasn't
I can't
me.
Really come. I remember Ronnie Lott, but I think we see everything that Rodney Harrison does after the play, not necessarily on camera, pushing a guy over the pile, an elbow to the chin, raking a ball out when the guy's clearly down. Those are things that are unnecessary. Hitting a guy hard isn't dirty.
And you might want to call Trent Green. Because I'm pretty sure he thinks Rodney Harrison is a dirty player.
I think you could call a few hundred NFL players.
He ended Trent Green's the season. And actually, my favorite part is that Rams fans are still mad about that. Someone forget to tell them that Kurt Warner
two-time
won
MVP.
The Super Bowl.
Wayne from Newport, New Hampshire wants to know if the Patriots should go after Mike Furry, the receiver.
Hang on. My point, though, about Harrison being dirty, I support that. He's what Roy Williams isn't. Roy Williams is Mr. Nice Guy shaking everybody's hands. Roy Williams is supposed to be Rodney Harrison, and he's not. I'm supporting Harrison. I'm just saying that he's dirty. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
And by dirty, I don't think he tries to paralyze people or anything.
Right. He's not
it's the little stuff, the little elbow, the little, it's intimidation is what it is. It's what Artrell Hawkins said after Rodney came back. You know, we all get a boost when he pushes that receiver's face into the ground. Well, that's fun and all when he's on your team, but when you're on the other team, you think he's dirty for doing that.
Mike Fury will be one of the biggest free agent busts in the history of the NFL, I think. someone's going to go and give this guy a ton of money. He played on a terrible team. They had to throw the ball about 750 million times. He played with Mike Martz. We all saw what Martz does with guys like Oz Hakeem and receivers that aren't very good. I think you put Fury in a regular offense with a good team, and he'll probably catch 30 passes.
Heck, Mike Martz made Dane Looker look like he could
catch the ball. Yeah, I just... I respect him for having that great year in Detroit, but someone's going to go out and give him a lot of money, and the Patriots won't be that someone.
And he could go somewhere and be a nice 3-4 receiver if you want to pay him $800,000 a year or whatever, but somebody's going to give him millions,
yeah.
Right?
Mike writes in, first off, this is not an email about how the Patriots should go out and try and move up to get Johnson. He is the top five talent, and I know this sounds funny, but the team who could be interested in him is the Detroit Lions. I know, first reaction is that there is no way they take him, but according to the message boards, Fury did not sign his contract that was up on January 1st, and the only other receiver they have is Roy Williams. Mike Williams and Charles Rogers are busts, plus the Lions made the generous move of keeping Millen, so you know he's just throwing darts at a dartboard to see who the Lions are going to pick. I know it is probably not going to happen, but it would be funny to see.
Yeah, I told you, there's a chance,
because
if you look at the team... If they don't go quarterback, they don't have a receiver. Of course, they don't have a running back. I mean, they don't have anything.
Right.
They could go anywhere.
Yeah.
Same.
So.
I mean, the Raiders are the same. What if the Raiders take Calvin Johnson, number one overall?
And, well, there's a good chance of that because Al Davis
might
fall.
We'll lust after
him. We'll have Randy Moss. We'll have Calvin Johnson. Then Aaron Brooks will all of a
Throw
sudden
deep.
Be a good, you know, there's a good chance he'll go to one of those teams.
Karen from Scituate, Rhode Island. I was impressed with the Patriots' last two games against opponents who had something to play for. Both the Jaguars and Titans were left whining and complaining after the losses to the Patriots. The Jets beat the Dolphins and Raiders, two teams with nothing going on. Do you think the Patriots' wins help the Patriots more than the Jets' wins going into this game on Sunday?
The Jets beat a Dolphins team that kicked the living crap out of the Patriots.
Right, so... I think that was a good. The Raiders is the Raiders, but you just.
But they did what they were supposed to do. They beat them, and they beat
them
easily.
Soundly. I love your show, especially how Tom does not pronounce the T at the end of what. Tom always says, you know, why? Too funny. That's good.
Well, let's get back to the more important issue. Why are
Why
are guys calling me a hunk?
I don't know. Because they,
I'm not happy about
because
that.
Of your past things, and we had the emailer who said you've clearly gone gay on us.
Tom, you are a hunk.
This is the same Andy Hart that said, "Now here's a body I would like one day to meet." See, he doesn't.
When
bring
did
up
I say that to?
He doesn't bring.
When
up,
did I say
he
that?
He doesn't bring up the
I,
things that
he's
he
making
says.
Stuff up.
No,
now.
I'm
the
not.
Sad thing was Perillo.
Yeah, I don't think that's it. Although we both agreed that the way Paul eats, he's in pretty good shape.
The way he eats.
If you think about
he
it.
He eats a chicken parm sub
like
and
Pete
peach every day.
Yeah,
he should look like Pete Shepard.
But he drinks Diet Pepsi.
Yeah, but he's always washing down lard.
Where is Paul?
The Big Show, I think.
Oh, really? He left early? He's usually here for the first hour, isn't he?
You're making my point.
Who knows what schedule he keeps these days.
Rob says Ryan Leaf is like Garrett Leaf, a one-hit wonder that comes down to earth. So,
but it's a movie. Maybe they'll make a – who's the other guy? Garrett Leaf?
They made a made-for-TV movie about Garrett Leaf.
Exactly.
And there's a Ryan Leaf trailer on the
– Leaf Garrett.
Leaf Garrett, yeah.
There's a Ryan Leaf trailer on the –
Oh, you got his album,
on
Gary?
On the web. Did you see that, Gary? The Ryan Leaf trailer?
Because Fred won't watch it.
I can't watch it now. I'm on a show.
I have a trivia question for the fans. In the last 6 months, I've seen one of these three people at the gym. A – Fred Kirsch, B, Andy Hart.
Dan Klecko, Temple University.
C, Gary Gradecki. Which one is it?
Gary was there yesterday, but he got a high ankle sprain.
Gary, you didn't go to the gym yesterday, did you?
Yeah, he was there.
Wow.
But he hurt himself.
He really got hurt, too?
Little treadmill accident.
Would you? You fell off the treadmill?
I hit stop. It didn't. I'll be back.
I go on off hours, Tom.
Yeah, all you right. do.
I mean, you go, you walk around, you look around, you're not
I don't
doing
do anything.
Anything.
Can you promise me to watch that trailer when you go upstairs and see if it makes you want to see the movie?
Okay.
I did see his new iPod, though.
Ryan Leaf has a new iPod? Oh.
Except there's a guy who wants it back.
Yeah. That thing's probably going to explode any minute.
Andre from Toronto. Hey, Tom, how about them Cowboys? Well,
there's Cowboys fans
suck.
In Toronto?
The Cowboys stink.
Well, new Waz, I don't know what that means. If you would have asked me as to whether or not I would have wanted the number three seed or a healthy Rodney, I would have definitely said Rodney. But, of course, we know we can't look at the past, but what a difference maker we've just lost. Since Rodney came back, the D looked a lot sharper and more physical. I'm just going to hope and pray that he can come back sometime during our run to the Super Bowl. Go Pats all the way, and let's all believe in BB and Brady. By the way, sign me up for the John Rook podcast.
No, boo.
Especially if it's going to involve Mexican hookers.
You know, just lowered himself. Hunk.
You know something I don't get? Last year, Patriot fans all said if it wasn't for the terrible calls in Denver, they would have won the Super Bowl. But Rodney Harrison wasn't there. Now they're saying we can't win a game without Rodney Harrison. It's one or the other. You know what I mean? Is he that important that you can't win the Super Bowl with him? I don't know. They've had a pretty good defense all year.
Scott, Washington, D.C., the only possible Dolphins replacement coach who worries me is if they can find a way to lure Urban Meyer to the pros.
Yeah. Why would he worry you? That's the funniest email we've ever gotten. Urban Meyer, he sucks.
Now that he has become part of the Belichick story, with the two watching films and talking strategy in the offseason, in Florida becoming something of a pipeline for Patriots players.
Yeah, a lot of good ones.
I hate to see that guy come in and coach an AFC East team.
What's he going to do, run the quarterback up the middle?
Saban, and then Meyer comes in, no thanks.
He'll run the lefty quarterback up the middle, and then he'll do that.
We just got done saying how it's hard for college coaches to come in, and you want a guy who runs a gimmick offense to come in. Listen and listen good. This Florida defense is why they're in that national championship game. Urban Meyer will crash and burn in the SEC, especially now that Saban's there, because he'll beat him like a rented mule. Urban Meyer will be fired from Florida in 4 years. Put it down, mark it down right now. The guy can't coach.
Josh from Arlington, Virginia, ESPN was reporting this morning that Millen said in a press conference, quote, "There is no difference between us and any other team that doesn't win the Super Bowl. Only one team wins, and that's the only thing that makes a team different. We're just like everyone else," end quote. Is this guy serious? How about building a franchise? What a moron. I feel so bad for those fans. Any thoughts on the NBA's continuing image problem? So now he's talking about the NBA.
Fred didn't even have a breath there in between the NFL and the NBA.
I think he means the NFL. As soon as the Darren Williams story is reported, the violence is linked to an NBA party. Oh, I see.
Oh, no, he did mean NBA.
Yeah, he did. What are the odds that Steven Jackson of the Pacers was the shooter?
Hey.
Oh,
jeez.
What did he say first? I kind of forgot.
I don't know. You were ranting and raving still about Urban Meyer.
Oh, the Matt Millen thing. We were talking about off air. I always say that all the time, that there's only one winner in the NFL, but it kind of means, like, for the better teams. Like, if you didn't win the Super Bowl, then you didn't make it. Matt Millen wins 2 to 3 games a year. You got to be kidding me. That is a joke of a statement. I'm telling you right now, you talk about gay people. He's got X-rated photos of that owner with another man. Guaranteed.
I just want to get this last email in before we talk
before
to
Tom gets fired.
John Rook. Well, speaking of Tom, hey, Fred, do me a favor and get Corey Dillon to come up to your broadcast booth and kick the crap out of Tom Casale. What a belligerent, pretentious blowhard. How many times has he bragged this year that he is going nowhere because Bob Kraft signs his check, blah, blah, blah? Who cares who signs his check? With that kind of attitude, you deserve to get canned.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere.
Congrats on having knowledge on college players. Laying in your sweatpants on your couch watching college games must be really tough. I hope Dillon knocks you for a loop, Paisano.
Yeah.
You are a hunk.
Dillon's not doing nothing. Trust me. And I'm not going anywhere. So I'll be here as long as I want until I go someplace else where I make more money and I'm bothering more people. You can't stop me. Nobody can. The difference is I say it, you listen to it on your couch, you loser.
Yeah!
And by the way, Dillon won't do anything because Tom's trying to get a one-on-one with him, and Tom will be Mr. Nice Guy when he's in the hallway by himself.
I'm writing a story about his possible
going to the Hall of Fame.
Well, what am I going to say? Corey Dillon has had a great career. I was talking about him this year.
Corey, just so you know, I've been ripping you for 3 months on the radio.
John Rook can back me up. In July and August, were fans not writing in saying 13, 14, 1,500 yards for Corey Dillon this season? Nobody was saying 700. They were all saying he'd easily get 1,000 yards.
They were hoping for that.
They were saying it.
Okay. I don't know if they were saying it or I don't know how to differentiate between hoping and saying,
well,
but yes, those figures
saying it.
Those figures were accurate.
Okay.
I don't think anybody realized that, you know, what Lawrence Maroney was going to bring to the table. I think that the thought process was that,
what's that, 700 yards?
If he were completely yeah. healthy, that maybe, just maybe, you know, he might be able to bounce back closer to form than he was a couple of years ago.
So they didn't take into account that he was 32 years old.
Right.
What are you thinking, John? Patriots, Jets? Tom and I think it's going to be...
Actually, no, I was thinking more Florida, Ohio State.
I was going to say...
Tom and I are thinking it's going to be a relatively easy win for the Patriots.
Really?
Andy
38-3, according to Tom.
What?
35-10, according to Fred.
Andy thinks it's going to be a tough game.
What are you guys smoking in here?
Well, reality.
Smoking the Kool-Aid, baby.
Reality. I just think every time the Jets and Patriots play, never mind the playoffs, it's
absolutely
close. And now you add play.
Are you guys nuts?
I think the Patriots will control the game, but I don't think they'll blow them out.
No, I don't think
blowout
so either.
City.
I mean, you just all you have to do is look at the track record, you know, between these two sides.
I don't look at track records. I look at matchups.
I think that's
easy.
Well,
win.
If I were
going to
look
pretty
at the track record, I would have said the Patriots are going
to
win that last game. They didn't. You never know what's going to
happen.
That's
exactly my point, Fred.
You can't go by track record.
Oh, okay.
You go by Fred,
you
who just predicts they'll blow everybody.
You go by right
Fred
now.
Knows,
you
Fred
go by
knows,
right now.
Fred knows it, man. He sees it.
You go by right now.
By the way, just, you know, I'm going to digress for a moment. What are your thoughts on Nick Saban bolting?
Oh, I figured he would. He's a slimy, sneaky SOB. Yes. I figured he'd go that
way. Yeah, I just love throwing him that softball, you know?
Well, he is.
Out of the park.
You know, I don't think he's a good NFL coach. I think Patriot fans are looking at this the wrong way. I think if Saban had stayed, they wouldn't have gotten much better. I think he's a great college coach.
I think that Nick Saban is cunning like a fox.
Oh, yeah.
Because he realizes that this Miami team has peaked, for lack of a better phrase. I don't think Jason Taylor is going to retire, but just the mere fact that he brought up the R word a couple of days ago probably sent him over the top and like, okay, Bama, here I come, baby. Because when you realize you don't have a franchise quarterback,
that his
okay.
fault.
Sure, yes. Yeah, probably. But you don't have that. You really may not have a franchise running back. Your offensive line is susceptible. Your defense, even though it might be decent, is aging rapidly.
But he took the money when he went there, and he knew what he was getting into, and the quarterback thing,
well,
he
sure.
screwed up.
Sure, because
Ronnie
he's got
Brown,
a chance to coach
drafted.
In the NFL. So. I realize that. But now he's got a chance to recruit as opposed to go out and, you know, evaluate talent. And
so
he's got other
a
coaches
to
that
walk
can...
away and just sort of.
Plus,
let
here's the big
down.
Factor: 8 years guaranteed.
Well, $32 million.
He gets paid $32 million whether
which
he
doesn't...
lasts 1 year or 8 years. He gets paid the same amount of money.
And which,
plus,
by the way,
he
won't have
top
to spend.
Of that, he gets $6 million. Signing
yeah, or something like that.
Bad news.
And plus, he probably gets a free house, a free car, free
oh, yeah.
food, and
right.
I mean,
free everything
expenses.
For life.
Right.
And I'm sure he can sit in Bear's chair at his famous breakfast
right.
place in Tuscaloosa too.
And
which
then
I've done, by the way, and it's awesome.
And, there you go. Okay.
And then when he doesn't win, I can't wait till they have
well,
his dog hanging in the backyard.
He'll win. And bad news for Bill's buddy Urban Meyer, Steve Spurrier, and Nick Saban in the SEC. We'll see how you do with that rinky-dink offense that you run.
Fred, as far as this one is concerned, this weekend, I mean. I think I probably, like a lot of fans, would have felt a little bit more assured of advancement for the Patriots if it had been Denver, just because Denver is reeling at the end of the year.
Well, see, a lot of people feel that no matter what, Denver is a tougher matchup for the Patriots. It's
well,
like
I'm still going to take the team that's, you know, on its heels. That's the team that I want. I want a chance to sucker punch. I want a chance to whack them while they're down.
That's good to know.
You know? That's all I... Well, hey, all's fair in love and war.
John
all's fair in love and football.
You learn that in Mexico in the summers.
That's exactly right. And don't you forget it. I'll take you there sometime. Too. You want to know? Show you all the, you know.
Sucker punch me on the way back.
Mariachi bar, 10 cent, no lie, shots of tequila.
Do you get to eat the worm?
Absolutely. Oh, wow. That's the best part. Didn't you know that's an aphrodisiac?
I know. Okay. They just well, happen to come from
I
Mexico.
I thought it was hallucinogenic. Mexican
<That too>.
Whores.
So I believe that, you know, I think that emotionally speaking, this week, the Patriots will probably find themselves somewhat more motivated just because of the whole Jets-Pats thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we'll probably learn that there is a little bit of, what's a good adjective for it? Angst between the two franchises. There's some definite dislike, I think, between, I think we already know, between Bill Belichick and the Jets organization as a whole. The fact that Eric Mangini kind of spurned his thoughts and went ahead and took the job to begin with probably just adds to
tampered with Deion Branch.
This guy was a professional. He's got his cell phone on.
Yeah, I have to turn it off now.
How do you know he tampered with Deion Branch?
Well, Patriots thought he did.
Jets
you know what?
Brett,
for me.
Brett believes but everything the Patriots tell him.
The truth is in the perception of it. If the Patriots perceive it,
right.
then it happened.
Then
right.
they're upset.
then they're upset, and they you're not going to change their mind any other way.
Upset. Sort of like when Drew Bledsoe perceived he was lied to by the head coach. It didn't matter whether he was or not. He believed it.
Let me ask you a quick question before we go.
Paul.
What happens if the Patriots lose this game? Does Belichick, like, do we see his
head
explode?
Well, we already know. You know what Tom has already made a guarantee.
That I have to...
If the Jets win this game, he will kiss Andy Hart's bare rear end.
I actually let him.
I'm not going to be here for that. I don't want to be here.
I don't either.
Forget
after Andy has eaten buffalo chicken wings.
I didn't say that. Now, forget the agony and pain that I have to go through. What about Bill Belichick?
Oh.
If he loses this game to Mangini,
tough.
What happens?
Tough.
I mean, how's he going to respond?
It'll be an awkward post-game press conference, I'll tell you that.
It's going to be a long off-season.
It will be a long off-season. Yeah. I would agree with that. I think he'll have plenty of time to stew. That would be an interesting lesson, would it not?
Yeah. And then
that'd be something that we have not experienced here since, you know, Coach Belichick arrived.
The circle is complete.
I would say that that's true, and I think there'll be some real
that mean?
Introspective stuff going on, I think, in the offseason.
And then it'll lead into
I don't personally think it's going to happen, but if it does, then
and it would lead into next year's season opener at New York.
At
the Giants?
Jets.
Oh, the Jets.
Jets and
season opener? Oh,
oh
yeah.
The Giants. You were thinking Bill's coaching the Giants next year.
Who are playing the Jets.
Yes. That's true, they are. The Monday Night Football opener next year, maybe then?
So how Patriots long are we going Jets? Here?
Yeah.
Sorry,
all right.
Gary.
Well,
thanks, Gary.
That's it for PFW in Progress. We'll be back tomorrow on Thursday. Stay tuned for John Rook.